Brian, this doesn't have a connection.
Did you plug it in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not yet, hold on. Hold on, we have a web problem. Some Wi-Fi, though.
Your Wi-Fi's jacked.
People are asking, why do you guys have an opening song, and then after the opening song, then you play more music? Like, what kind of shit is that? And you're right. It's fucking ridiculous. This whole show's ridiculous. I can't believe anybody's even listening. At this point, this is the most ghetto podcast on the internet. The most fun to do, though. And this is some mashup, Brian. Who's the mashup?
I believe it's Party Ben. It might be Girl Talk. I don't know.
You know what, man? I used to not be a big fan of podcasts until I heard this Voodoo Child Jay-Z mix. And I was like, God damn. Okay, you did something there.
Yeah.
You know? Like, a lot of times I'll, like, listen to a podcast and like, or to a mashup, rather. And I'm like, this isn't that interesting. It's kind of... But every now and then they just make something super cool.
They just kill it.
Yeah, it's like shit that you shouldn't think would go together, like chicken and waffles. Bam! You know?
There was a Jay-Z Linkin Park mashup that was just dirty.
Yeah, didn't they do like a whole album
of
that?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I love when shit like that happens. I love when artists get together like that and create something fucking nutty. We were talking about this before the podcast, and it's, you know, total retard hippie talk, but what the fuck is music, and why? What does it do? Why? How does it just get in you, man?
By the way, we're talking to.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to introduce him eventually. This is my friend Chris.
What's going on?
Chris is he's a writer. He writes for the blog. What is it? WarriorPoet.us. Then, and what is a .us, man?
I'm looking to take over the world eventually, but I'm starting with the U.S. .com is currently unavailable, so.
Yeah, I couldn't get JoeRogan.com. The dude who owns it he's a nice guy. He's a real estate guy, but he goes, just occurred to me, the more famous you get, the more this is worth.
Right.
And I was like, oh, all right, dick. Right. I'm like, I'm not buying this.
You had
from
some
you now.
Twitter dude who was holding down your
yeah, but I got it back from Twitter. Twitter gave it up. But this dude's, his name's Joe Rogan, and he's older than me, so respect to him. It's got to go to him more than it is to me. You know, and I was willing to buy it, but after he said that, I was like, get out of here. The more famous you get, the more this is worth. I'm like, oh, come on, man. What are you, 12?
Yeah.
Just tell me what you want. Can't we talk through this?
The more famous you get, I can hold on to it. This is a good investment.
Except you have to be able to buy it for it to be valuable. It
doesn't matter. So. You can find me now. It's Google, JoeRogan.net. If you can't, it's probably good. It probably filters out a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
Because if you can't type .net instead of .com, if you give up, I quit. You know?
Right.
I couldn't find it.
Right.
Good, I don't want you finding it.
People would put the .com in the Google search bar instead of the URL, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure Brian knows about that.
I do that all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
And what happens when you do that?
U-Porn shows up and they have to masturbate using a fleshlight.
Is that really what happens?
Yeah.
Porn shows up if you put a .com?
Every time I put anything, I'm fucking directly
I think that's
porn.
Called a virus.
Yeah, dude, you gotta get your shit cleaned out, son.
That's a computer virus.
Are you serious?
I just need to clear my cache, because it's seriously, everything that comes up on my toolbar, you know, it just...
Have you just been beating it furiously lately?
Well,
Brian, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, Brian had a very lust-filled, short-term relationship, which filled with passion and a loss of fluids. And then as quickly as the storm came into town, the storm left.
And I have kids now. I have
a dog
kids. Now.
He's got a kid from the relationship.
Just something
here's,
to remember it by.
Here's lesson number one, children. Anyone under 30 that I'm talking to right now, listen to me. Do not get a dog with a chick, okay?
Never, ever.
Don't
ever.
Do it. Unless you guys have kids, don't get a dog.
And if you do it, go
don't
do
get
it.
Nutty.
And if you do it, go right to the pet store. Fuck what they say. Just go against all the rules and get one of those dogs that would
don't go to the pet store. Don't support puppy mills, man. Hope those pet stores go under. Go to the fucking pound or go to a good breeder.
Obviously, I'm kidding.
I got one of my dogs from a breeder, man. I am not... there's nothing wrong with breeders. People talk shit about breeders, but if a guy's a passionate breeder and really breeds dogs because he wants like a good my dog is awesome, dude. And one of the reasons why he's awesome is because his dad was awesome. His dad was one of the security dogs on Fear Factor.
Mm-hmm.
We had him like bite people in these big crazy bite suits. And his dog was so cool. He was just chill, hanging out with everybody, not douchey to the other dogs. Yeah. It was just the sweetest dog. Come over to you. Hey, man, what's going on? Meanwhile, he's this giant mastiff. And I'm like, what a great dog. Like, he's so friendly.
Makes such a difference.
Genuinely affectionate. Like, come up and rub against you and love it when you rub his head. I'm like, how crazy is this dog? He's got, like, this perfect personality. Well, this guy won't let his douchebags breed. Right. He just, anytime a dog, he goes, I love them, I take care of them, but no breeding for you, you fuck.
Right.
And he takes them and he takes all the douchebags out. So he's done this for like 20 generations. So his dogs are like the coolest dogs. Like, I come over his house, he's got these big fucking mastiffs. So like, the chick's like a buck 30 and the male's like a buck 50. And they come up to you like, okay, these are lions.
Right.
These are these small lions that I'm just assuming you have control over. You know, I'm walking in your house and I'm trusting my balls and my legs. Right. I'm trusting all my soft tissue to these monsters that you have under your control. Mm-hmm. The dogs couldn't have been more chill. Just like, hey, how you doing? Come on. Not like checking you out. Like, what's up, bitch?
Right.
What the fuck are you doing around here? Like, not sniffing you all aggro. Like, some of them will disrespect you with a sniff.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's like letting you know, bitch, I'm just going to sniff your dick right now. They're just like, get it on your dick. You know, they're going aggro on you, man. They're pulling some alpha male shit. You got to step in and stop them from doing that. These dogs were nothing like that, man. These dogs were so cool. They just had this air about them like, hi, come on in.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they would do bite work. Like, he would have these dudes in a suit, and they would hold them back, and then let the dog loose. And it was like a meat cannon. Like you shot a side of beef at this dude's arm. The thing would just latch onto the guy and bring him down. I'm like, what a crazy thing you've engineered.
Yeah,
this, like, dog that will respond to your every command is super intelligent and is gigantic.
And can mimic the primal attack mode and then shut it off.
And shut it right off and be super friendly.
Do physically exactly what he's designed to do, to kill and then stop.
Dude, that impressed the that was the most impressive thing to me when we were on Fear Factor, is what people have done with dog breeding and dog training. Mm-hmm. Like, dogs that really know their shit. They're impressive, man. That's impressive. Like, they have it locked down. They're giving them treats and they're setting them up and they're giving them their affection and they're giving them their recognition for what they've done. These dogs will do anything. They'll do whatever the fuck you say.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty nuts that we figured out a way to do that.
Yeah. I always think it's kind of funny that people will, you know, I totally love and respect people rescuing animals. I think that's a beautiful thing that people do. And then, you know, there's the other people who will buy like a budget animal. You know, which is definitely coming from a bad place. If you're buying like a dog for like $100,
sometimes people just fall in love too.
Yeah, it's true.
Sometimes people see a dog and they just go, "I gotta get that dog."
Yeah, but you know, they expect great results. It's like there's a place where they had like $25 tattoos. Like, you're gonna have this for a long time. Like, make a good investment. You know,
yeah, but some people just say, "But it's a dog. What could be wrong with it?" Right. I've had a bunch of dogs with, like, I had this bulldog. He's had to have a bunch of operations. Brian, you just killed my mom.
Sorry.
He's got hip dysplasia, so he had to have to get both his arms operated, and it was like $6,000, man. It was like it's like serious money. So it was like $18,000, I think, for both of his arms. He had to have one operation, and then he had to have one like a while later. And then they were talking about replacing his back hips, and I'm like, listen, this dog's lazy as fuck. You don't have to do that.
That's people stuff.
This dog just likes to chill. Like, you don't have to, like, he walks around with a bit of a limp, but he seems happy. Like, he might be in a little pain, but most of the time he's just chilling.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a running dog. He's a bulldog. He's just going to relax, you know? Like, he's fucked up. You don't have to give him metal hips, all right? Just let him be fucked up.
Yeah.
But that's a dog that was given to me. If it was a situation,
Yeah.
If it wasn't, I would have never wanted to get a dog like that. I would look for dogs that have a genetic propensity for hip dysplasia and stuff like that. And you gotta think, man. It's wonderful to love a dog and take care of him, but you're adopting a giant bag of fucking problems with some animals.
Yeah.
You know, if you get them from a good breeder, you know what the fuck you're getting.
Yeah, we bought a big Savannah cat. It's gonna be almost a 30-pound cat.
That's insane. So you told me about that. Yeah. That's insane. And you feed this thing like chicken wings and shit.
Yeah, chicken bones.
And it just growls.
And it just hunts it. It just hunts it. It sits there and it'll stalk it, and then it'll just pounce, and then it'll grab it in its mouth and throw it up in the air and paw it before it gets down to the ground.
Wow.
Just savage. Yeah.
But do you trust it with you? Does it ever get dicky with you?
Totally. No. I mean, because I've definitely alpha maled it too, though.
Tear up your furniture?
Yeah.
Does it destroy things?
No, he doesn't have that crazy cat instinct where he's going to rip stuff
really?
Up.
Do you have posts for him or something?
We do have some posts.
And does he use those?
He does.
So he doesn't defy you?
No, he doesn't.
I got this little motherfucker. This little motherfucker. I got this little cat named Oliver. And he's a ragdoll. Yeah. And he's a sweet cat. He's super friendly. Super sweet.
Yeah.
Loves coming up. But if you tell him to get the fuck out of here, he's going to keep coming back.
Right.
It's like, you know, he's going to prove a point.
Right.
Like, he'll come into, there's my library has a carpet in it, and I don't like him licking his asshole on my white carpet. You know, so yeah. I mean, get the fuck out of here licking your asshole. But go,
dingleberries are worse than them licking their asshole.
Well, whatever. I mean, he's got short hair.
I'd rather him just take care of that right away.
He's trimmed. I trimmed him. We trim him for the summer because he's a fluffy cat. And it gets hot as fuck out here.
Right.
So anyway, so he's licking his asshole on this white carpet. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Come on, you got to go. Yeah. And I'm being nice about it. I pick him up. I take him out. Thank you. Bye. I go back in. I'm rearranging my shit. I turn back in. He's licking his asshole again. Same spot. It's like, you can't lick your asshole over there. He wanted to walk back to the exact. No, this is where I want to be. I am the one who decides where I want to be. I want to be right here.
Right.
I picked him up. I put him out of that room 4 fucking times before I finally shut the door. I had to shut the door. I had to give up.
Yeah.
Little cocksucker. He tests me. But he's a little tiny cat, you know. If it was like a big fuck, a serval, that's what they're called?
Yeah, well, it's bred from servals. So they call them savannas when they get, you know, one generation removed from
that. It's a serval mixed with a domestic cat?
Serval mixed with a domestic. But the breeder I got them from, they've been doing it so long, it's mostly savanna to savanna mating.
What exactly is a serval?
It's this wild-looking mini cheetah with really long
legs. It's a wild animal.
Fully wild, yeah.
So they don't train those at all?
No, those are just gone. I mean, they live. I mean, there's pictures from the breeder, the servals with the children and stuff like that. Like, they hang out all right.
There was a Fear Factor show that we did once, and it was in this really, really rural area, really rural. You know, like, these people were, like, living out where there was no one out there. And one woman had a dog that got fucked by a coyote. And it had all these half coyote, half dog puppies. It was a trip, dude. It was a trip.
I bet.
They were all huddled together because it was freezing cold. A bunch of the cast, or the crew rather, took them home as pets because everybody was so heartbroken because it was really cold outside. We were filming in the winter.
Yeah.
And we're up in like this really, you know, high altitude area. It's cold as fuck.
Yeah.
And there's these puppies all huddled up together, like shaking, and they're half coyote, man. It was crazy.
That's wild.
Some dog got fucked by some murderous beast from the woods, you know?
Yeah.
When a dog gets fucked by a coyote, that's got to be some trippy shit.
It's got to be a gnarly
What's
coyote,
crazy about
too.
Those hyenas that people use as dogs? You know,
I wonder if a dog fucks coyote, if a coyote fucks a dog, because that's what it is usually probably. I bet it's not dogs fucking coyotes.
I don't know. One of those big.
I bet it's a male.
Big mastiffs could fucking take.
Do you think so?
No, I think you'd kill it.
I think it'd kill it. I think they'd have a war. Yeah. They would go to. Yeah. It wouldn't. But a male gets to fuck a dog.
Yeah.
The males can fuck the dogs.
Right.
That's so creepy, man.
Yeah.
That's like, I wonder if the dogs can go back to regular dogs after that, or if they just get used just to getting coyote starts. Fucked.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a coyote's mouth when they open their jaws? Dude, there's like rows of teeth like a crocodile. That shit goes back. Like, the first time I saw a coyote yawn, I was like, whoa, hold on. Like, you start thinking they're dogs, and then you see a coyote yawn. You're like, you've got like 20 extra teeth, you fuck.
Yeah.
Those are scary, creepy fucking murderers sneaking in and fucking your dog.
There's a dude that runs Town Lake in Austin, which is a big lake, big jogging trail. He has 3 wolves, four wolves, and he just pretends that they're not wolves. But they're beautiful creatures, but that's a little iffy.
Yeah, I have a friend who has one. He has one, and the fucking thing got out and killed a gang of goats. He has a ranch, and it got from his ranch and went into the neighbor's ranch and just started jacking their animals, just fucking up everything.
A little too much.
He had a blood orgy. Just went over there. He found a pen that was filled with goats.
Yeah.
So he jumped into this pen and started just tearing these goats apart. And he was big, 160, 170 pounds, just ripping them apart.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, you don't have control of this fucking thing, man. Yeah. Like, you got to be careful. So what does he do? He moves to Hollywood.
Brings his wolf.
3 of them. He's got 3 of them, this douchebag. Yeah. Living in the fucking Hollywood Hills. This thing's out killing deer and shit. Yeah.
I heard wolves aren't even good for home invasion either. Wolves,
no, they don't
like
give
if
a fuck.
You come in the home, they're not territorially protected because they have those wide ranges. It's not like other dogs. So a burglar, murderer can come in your home and do whatever and it won't
be well,
but if it threatens you, apparently, then the wolf will.
It'll protect you.
It'll protect you, yeah.
Yeah, you're his buddy.
Right.
But you're not his dad.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's a difference. You're his buddy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if your roommate is getting attacked, you're going to jump in.
Right.
But that's not like if your son was getting attacked. Okay? you know, indeed. Or, you know, if your father was getting attacked, rather. Indeed. And that's how dogs are. Dogs look at you like you're a dad.
Yep.
With a wolf, you're just like, what's up, man? This guy fucking with you? The wolf like, yo, get that shit out of here. Yeah. But the wolf is not like, get you can't come shit. Over. The wolf's not like, who the fuck are you? Let me check you out and make sure you're okay. The wolf's like, bitch, I know you're okay. What are you going to do to me, stupid? That's how the wolf looks at you.
Steak.
The wolf
hungry.
Is not wolf's not threatened by you.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, are you being nice? Okay, good, whatever. I got teeth. Look at these teeth. I'll fucking kill you, dude. They're not worried about you.
Look at my smile.
Yeah, they don't just listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different situation.
Yeah.
It's like, for the most part, you're probably going to be okay and they're not going to kill anybody. But wolves have killed people. Wolves killed people. There's a woman got attacked by wolves recently.
Yeah.
I think it was in Alaska. I'm not sure where it was. But a woman got attacked and killed by wolves. So it's very rare. The last time it happened was like the 1950s or some shit. But so what?
Yeah,
so it happened. You know, if there's only like one monster, you know, a fucking goblin ate some old lady's head once in 1812, that would be the most haunted woods for the history of time.
Oh, sure.
You'd be like, that thing's real and it's out there? Well, wolves are for fucking sure real, all right? They howl. You can see them. You can watch documentaries on them. If you go through Wyoming, you're going to see them. You know what I'm saying? Or was it Wyoming? Where are wolves?
At Wyoming,
are they?
North Dakota. All
for sure, like Yellowstone, right?
Yeah,
those are real animals, man.
Yeah.
And they'll jack you.
Yeah.
And they're smart.
People forget the mythical basis for that. I mean, wolves were real enemies. I mean, the expression, keep the wolves in the hills and our women in our beds was real.
Yeah, they'll eat your babies, man.
You were toasting to that daily, you know, back in the days.
What happened? Did they just wise up to our whole gun situation and just, like, back off with all that aggressive shit?
I think they got trappers just, you know...
Decimated the population.
Yeah,
is that what it is? And then the population's so small, now they don't feel the strength to fuck with people.
Right. Yeah, and they're hanging out.
They will fuck up your crops or your cattle, though.
Yeah.
If you have cows or if you have any animals, they will fuck them up, man. Them and mountain lions.
Mm-hmm.
I was a kid once, and I was reading this comic book, and it was I used to read a lot of Creepy and Eerie. Do you remember those comic books? Do you remember those at all?
Mm-mm.
Creepy and Eerie were like these... really cool comic books that were like black and white, like really cool illustrations, and it was all like monster stories. And one of them was about this werewolf that was sneaking into these people had sheep, and they were living in the Old West or some shit, and they had sheep, and the werewolf would sneak into their pen and kill all the sheep, you know, and then the guy goes out there and he gets attacked by this werewolf, and I'm like, wow, how crazy would that be if a werewolf was out there sneaking into people's, you know, pens and killing all their animals? And then I thought about it, I'm like, there's cheetahs. Cheetahs do that.
Right.
Mountain lions do that all the time. They got a real. If you live anywhere near mountain lion and you have animals in your yard, you got a real. That's game.
Yeah,
they're gonna just hop over that fence and kill them and drag them in the woods. Why is it any? Why is a wolf man any scarier than that?
I don't know. Maybe because it can have sex with you.
Yeah,
the wolf man.
It does in all the Twilight movies, that's for sure.
Is that what they do? Are those guys technically werewolves though? You know,
I don't know,
because they just become wolves.
Metro wolves.
You know what I'm saying? Then they don't become a werewolf. They become a wolf. Like, that's kind of gay.
That is.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if you're going to take the time to morph, be something cool and new, you know, be some American Werewolf in London type hybrid shit.
Yeah.
Don't just be a dog.
Teen Wolf killed that whole thing, though. After Teen Wolf, to me, like, oh, it's a werewolf guy. Whoa, you know,
Teen Wolf killed it for you.
Yeah. It's like fucking Michael J. Fox is not scary or that.
Did Twilight kill it for you for vampires?
No, vampires were already killed for me a long time ago.
Dude, if you think vampires are killed, go watch Gary Oldman do Dracula.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. But then also watch the million other TV shows and fucking knockoffs.
Totally. If Gary Oldman came out today with a new Dracula, he could rock that shit, and you'd be believing in vampires again.
But not Wolfman, not too much.
Wolfman's done. I think he's done. Yeah. I think that last one with Benicio del Toro, that killed it for me. I'm a Wolfman fan, bro, and I couldn't do it. Shit, we've talked about this too many times on the podcast. I have Wolfman fetishes. I have some crazy fucking werewolf thing, man. I don't know what it is. Ever since I was a little kid, loved werewolf movies.
Yeah.
Just like the idea.
You showed some sketches. You were drawing werewolves.
Yeah.
In high school.
Yeah. When I was a little kid, even before high school. A lot of them are like from when I was like 12 and 13.
Yeah.
I'm fucked up.
They tap into something primal in Joe Rogan.
Some fucking part of me, like, that's why I moved to the woods, man. There's some part of me that, like, wants to be out with animals.
Has anybody seen Joe Rogan on a full moon?
Right?
It ain't that, man.
Call it out.
Why is he tweeting at 6 a.m.?
It's because I can't live in the jungle.
Yeah.
If I could live in the jungle, I'd live in the jungle. But there's no jungle in America, so I choose the woods. It's like, I really would like to be just living around animals and shit.
Well, it's got to represent some primal part of all of us, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's some energy, I think, that you get. This sounds so hippie, faggy bullshit.
Yeah, bro.
It's so true, man. There's, like, certain energy you get when you're around these animals. Like,
he's so right.
One of the people that I lived near up there was this crazy yoga lady. Very nice lady, but a crazy yoga lady. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to her about, like, mountain lions. I'm like, listen, how do you guys deal with the fact there's mountain lions? Because there's a fucking corner store up there that had a sign that if you get attacked by a bear, you should play dead. And if you're attacked by a mountain lion, you should fight back. I'm like, what the fuck? You have strategies to deal with different monsters jacking you. You're going to play dead by a bear is biting the fuck out of you. Really?
That's tough.
You're really going to do that? Are you going to be able to do that? Holy shit. So I said, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with the fact that you're around these beasts? She goes, I just let them all in. When I walk through the woods, I let them know that I'm here among you. I'm no threat. I love you, and I love them, and I just walk through. And I've never had a problem. Like, bitch, you've been so lucky. You zigged when you could have zagged, and you could have walked right onto a mother cougar, protected her young. Yep. You could have fucked up and walked into a fucking grizzly bear, and it could have been with its cubs and freaked out and decided to eat your face. You got lucky.
Yeah. You see all those documentaries, people who hang out with these predators long enough.
Why do people think that they are better than deer? Why do you think that if there's love in nature, it's all love? Why does nature let this murderous cougar snap this deer's fucking neck and suck the blood out and then eat its guts first? Because that's what they do. They go guts first because they don't eat grass. They get their vegetation by eating the guts of the things they kill.
Yeah.
Oh, but it wouldn't happen to you. Why would it happen to the deer and not to you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Think the universe gives a fuck? If you're around a predator and it wants to eat and it looks at you and says, I think I ate one of these back in the 90s, I'll try it again.
It was good.
Yeah. I only get a hiker once every 10 years, but yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah, they got that muesli in their system.
Yeah, dude. Jack you, especially when they get used to it. Like, that's there's an area, I talked about it in my act, an area in India called the Sundarbans. And they have a real problem with tigers there because the tigers have gotten used to eating people. The tsunamis, or the typhoons, rather, they wash a lot of bodies into the river.
Yep.
A lot of people drown. I mean, these are fucking villagers, man. These people are really poor. They're living in, like, shacks on the river in India. And the tigers eat the bodies that drown. And so they get a taste of human flesh, and they just start jacking people. Yeah. Just jacking people.
Ghost in the
darkness. You can't go anywhere.
Yeah,
bro, there's videos on YouTube, and look this up, folks. If you're at home or when you get home, you got to check out Sundarbans Tigers, because there's a bunch of cool documentaries online, and one of them, these poor fucks, these guys are census takers, so they have to find out how many of these murderous monsters are out there in the tall grass, in the fucking tall grass, out on a boat. So what this guy has a rifle, and he's got a helmet on, okay? And the helmet has a mask on the back of the head, because tigers like to sneak up behind you and jack you. They don't want you to see them coming. They just want to jack you.
Right.
So these guys are wearing helmets to protect themselves from getting jacked by monsters, and they have a mask with a fucking face on the back of the head. Well, the tigers figured it out after a while that it was just a face. So they started jacking guys from the back anyway, even though they have these face on. A bunch of dudes in the census takers get killed by tigers with fucking masks on. So now they're fucked. These things can swim, so they have to make sure that their boat has an engine so they can swim faster than the tiger can. They can run 50 miles an hour. And they've killed 300,000 people in the last 200 years.
That's insane. You'd think that someone would take up the challenge and be like, all right, tigers, you know, we're smarter. Let's fucking do this.
People are like, you know, hey, they're a part of nature.
Yeah.
They're a part of nature.
In some regards, they're right. I mean, what makes us that much better? I mean,
we have the guns. This is ridiculous. We don't need them around. It's so stupid. Kill them all. What are you, crazy? The people in India should be, we are worried about the extinction of the tigers. You should be worried. You should be worried about your murderous master that lives in the jungle. Yeah, you got to keep it alive. It's your god. Are you crazy? Are you fucking that attached to these animals that want to kill people? Just gun them down, man. Gun them
or
down.
Or put human masks on the back of the tigers and really confuse everything.
Yeah, that's what you're going to do, Brian. You're going to find the tiger and put a mask on it. You
cool
fuck.
A human mask.
That'd be cool with that.
How dare you?
Just fuck it up.
did you try to trick the tigers? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. It would confuse everything, you know? There'd be people with tiger masks on the back of their heads and tigers with human masks.
If you could transfer human consciousness into anything, if you could transfer human consciousness into like an animal, just to see what it'd be like, how dope would it be to be able to download your fucking brain into a tiger's body
and just live it,
moving that shit around, and running up a tree and shit?
For sure.
How fucking insane would that be, man? If you could just control the body of a tiger with your human mind
and fuck other tigers.
Oh shit, tiger sex. God damn, how crazy would that
totally
be?
It would totally feel right, you know.
Oh my god, it would feel perfect.
Fuck this. This is.
And even when she freaks out at you, you're like, "Bitch, I got this." You know, it'll allow her to intimidate you, even though it's a tiger and you've got your dick inside of her, you have no fear. You have full control of this
just
thing.
Blast for 20 seconds.
Just shoot loads into her. Just shoot tiger loads into her. That would be insane, man. I would think, though, if I had to choose, I would take eagle. I would like to be an eagle. Yeah. That would be the dopest thing ever. Yeah, because eagles get to jack fish from the air. Yeah, bro. It's because it's our fucking national animal for a reason, bro. Have some respect.
You know, the turkey, I'm sure you know this, the turkey was supposed to be our national animal.
Really?
Yeah, Benjamin Franklin was putting forward this turkey. Turkey's the smartest bird.
That would have made us less douchey. See, in Canada, they have a maple leaf. They're all like, chill up there.
Yeah.
We got a fucking killer bird.
That we eat once a year.
An eagle? Oh, the turkey.
No, turkey.
Yeah.
we eat our national bird, man.
If we didn't have the eagle, maybe we wouldn't be so douchey. Because the eagle is such a douchey animal. Eagle's like, what, bitch? Yeah. Why would we want an eagle, first of all? Because eagles don't give a fuck about anybody. Yeah. You ever look into an eagle's eyes? That's like the pits of hell.
I cry.
They don't give a fuck about you. Yeah. If you're holding them and feeding them every day and they're in a little thing on your arm and you get shot in the head with a howitzer, they'll go, well, I guess I'm not hanging out here anymore. Just fly away. They don't get sad. They don't feel bad.
Those birds of prey are tripped. There was a hawk that landed on our ranch, and we knew something was off with it because it was just hanging around the house. So my parents were like, all right, we got to try and bring it in. We got to try to get it to the vet or something.
Whoa.
Like that. So they sent me with a kitchen glove.
Were they short of bullets?
Yeah. They sent me with a kitchen glove and a little piece of steak.
Get the fuck out of here.
So I'm like going very slowly, like looking at this hawk in the eye, like thinking of the options.
Ow!
You know, do I fight? Do I run?
Oh,
like what happened?
God.
But, you know, it turned out that it was a domesticated hawk. So I was able to give it the meat and then it dug it and then it hopped on the kitchen glove.
That's crazy.
Yeah, brought it into the house and then they rescued it.
Does it have to be domesticated for that to have happened?
I don't know. I'm glad I found out.
Because did you ask him? Like, have you done this before?
Yeah,
bro. That's what we do. That's what we do.
Yeah, no problem.
Climb on your glove, bro.
Yeah.
What animal would you be?
Shut the fuck up. Brian's on a date. Chris is a very handsome man.
I almost answered that. That's the sad part. Like, I was right there with you. I was like, well, actually, Brian.
Well, we have to know the answer now.
Well, it's like one of those things, if someone asks you, what's your favorite color? Like, you know, shut up, dick. But meanwhile, it is a valid question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you have a reason why you're into violet.
I'm into purple.
I'm into fuchsia. I want to shock you. I'm into fuchsia. Look, I'm fuchsia. I got a hot fuchsia car.
Uh-huh.
I'm radical.
Didn't Cameron trademark some kind of pink as his color?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Good for him. Color.
Trademarked it.
My boy Javi Vasquez, he fights in pink shorts. Yeah. He wears pink little fucking tighties when he fights. He fights for Strikeforce. He's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
Well, he fights for WEC, excuse me. He was fighting for, he won the King of the Cage title. He won, he's fought in Japan and went over there. He always wears pink shorts.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a fuck.
No one wants to get
beat
by
your ass. Beat your ass with sissy clothes on.
All you see is the stars are clearing out. It's just pink shorts and a package staring you in the face.
There's another dude, what the fuck is his name? Tim Kennedy. Tim Kennedy always trains with pink gloves.
Yeah,
he wears these big fucking girly looking pink gloves.
Yeah.
But he's like, when you're a fierce motherfucker, you can wear pink.
Right.
Like, it totally makes sense,
right,
you know?
Right, totally.
How did a color get to be so disparaged? Why?
Well, it was the traditional girl color. I mean,
but why? What is it?
Because people gave it to girls on the baby shower day, you know? So it was just ingrained.
But why? Why are they into pink all over the world? There's not like, are they in Transylvania? Are little girls into black?
They're all little goth girls.
I don't know.
Is that the big color for little girls?
I think pink's the prettiest color, you know? I think if you don't want red, because that's like an evil hot
Thank
color.
You. You just passed my faggot test.
Well, I think pink's the prettiest color.
Because it's sparkly.
How did pink get to keep the name pink? You know, the singer Pink? Uh-huh. How the fuck has nobody else been pink? How that mean that bitch got the best name for a chick could have ever. Like, what's the girliest shit ever? Pink.
She's gangster.
All girls love pink.
And deserves it.
Yeah, but she does deserve it. She's a badass. You know that I wrote a whole blog about watching her perform at the Emmys. I watched her perform, and I was like, "You got to be fucking shitting me!" Yeah. Like that was just sheer brilliance in coordination with perfect singing and just so in tune with the crowd and had everyone mesmerized. It was fucking beyond.
Yeah.
But I'm just shocked that nobody got pink before. I mean, she's not old. It's not like she got there first. Like nobody thought to call themselves pink.
It seems like there probably was. I bet
some fucking dummy that just didn't trademark it.
Right.
I think that was probably some bitches out there.
I was a real pink. I was pink way before that hoe.
Charlie Chaplin was pink once.
I was pink in the 80s. They didn't even have no internet. She heard about me. She heard about me and created her own shit.
Jack my name.
That bitch jacked my name.
There's always, whenever someone famous gets famous, there's always someone that thinks that that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's got my whole act. That's my whole routine. Right. That's my shit. I was doing that in the Catskills.
I taught him everything he knows.
I've heard that story so many times that a guy makes it, and then you go, oh, you know, that guy made it. But there was a guy back in, like, Michigan who was scared to leave town, but he was the guy. He learned from that guy. Like, there's like Kramer. There's a real Kramer. You know, Kramer from Seinfeld? Yeah. But there's a real dude. He calls himself the real Kramer, and he gives, like, tours of New York. He was like the guy that
burst through doors.
Well, I guess he's like universally acknowledged as the guy who inspired that character. So he somehow or another, they let him capitalize on it and gives like tours and shit, which has got to be so twisted.
Yeah.
And boring.
Maybe not, man. Maybe for him, it's like the shit, you know? Maybe if he was a dentist, he'd be bored. And maybe if my dentist had his job, he'd be terrified.
Maybe
the dentist would off himself.
I don't. Who knows if he really was supposed to be Kramer? The guy's got to be very eccentric, right? I mean, if that's really the guy who they modeled it after. What the fuck? What does that guy do now?
I've seen him randomly in placements and appearances.
Really? Recently?
You're talking about
Kramer?
Yeah,
the real one.
Yeah, what the fuck's his name?
He's about to go in some
house. Why did I forget? How come I'm forgetting his name? Michael Richards. Thank you.
He just attacked a photographer the other day.
Did he?
Yeah.
No, I thought he had it together.
Who would have thought?
I guess he punched him and stuff.
That's one of the worst predicaments in the history of the media for an actor. For an actor to have done. That was one of the worst predicaments. You know, that's like... You know, like people have caught people with hookers, like Hugh Grant got busted with hookers and, you know, and Alec Baldwin yelled at his kid. That's all good. But, you know, it's not that bad.
No.
Right?
He yelled out, here's a nigger.
A nigger.
Jesus, Joe.
I know what he was trying to do.
Spoiler alert.
What he was trying to do. Spoiler alert. What he was trying to do is say something completely shocking. And somehow or another rescue himself from a bad situation where he was bombing. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to figure out how to get them, how to hurt them, how to shock, how to let them know that he didn't give a fuck. You know, like, oh, you're going to fuck with my show? You think it's okay? Oh, you think because I'm on Seinfeld, I won't get crazy at you? Oh, look, here's a nigger. Look, we have some niggers. You know, and everybody was like, whoa, what the fuck? It's shocking. But what's most shocking to me is that that word still works.
It's one of the few words that
people still freak out.
It still has magic left in it, you know. Still has that ability to affect people harshly.
It's nuts.
It's interesting.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the only one left. The other one, I think, cunt.
Yeah, still has dude, I have a whole bit on it. I have a whole bit about the three magic words: love, nigger, and cunt.
Yeah,
those are the three words, or the three magic words that have the word love always has way more power.
Right.
Than any other words you could string together. Like, I care about you so much. I think about you all day. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just, when I'm around you, I want to be affectionate. And do you love me? You have to say it. You have to say, I love you. Like, I love, oh, it's the fucking, we're in the house. Yeah. We're in the love house. We all go in. That's magic word number one. Cunt, sort of, but that's getting, getting abused a lot. Yeah. Gets tossed, rapidly. Especially in England.
Hallmark's using cards now, so I don't think it's.
Is Hallmark using cunt in cards?
Hell, probably
not. In England, they cunt all the time. Everything's cunt. This fucking cunt. Cunt, fucking cunt. This,
talking about dudes.
Yeah. This fucking cunt over here. Yeah, they cunt it up so much that it's like this fucking dude. It's like they're saying dude.
We're going to be left with two words.
Yeah, but nigger's still very, very controversial. Mm-hmm. You know, and just even the joke in my act, I would say that even saying it's a word, like I'm not even calling anybody yet. We're just saying the word, and you're like Candyman. Sure. It is like that. It's you're saying an incantation that's going to bring violence your way. Like you are using a bad word. You're not even calling anybody anything. You're just saying that this word exists, and incanting it and saying it out loud. You know, you run the risk of violence.
Yeah,
it's amazing. That's amazing that it's 2010 and we think that's okay.
I think it's one of the few words where I can't even hear my own voice saying it because I don't think I've had the courage to voice it.
Oh, it's just a word, you know, man.
I say it to girls all the time. And
when you're fucking them?
Yeah.
Tell me how you do it. Tell me what you say.
Hey, you fucking nigger.
Whoa. That was offensive, Brian. I thought you were going to say N-word. Fucking N-word. That's even more offensive.
Ooh, that'd be good.
But, dirty bitch. I mean, she's not really one.
Swear
so
in front of you. You might be wearing a wire, you dirty N-word.
But she's but she's not really one, so it's not bad, you know? If she was really black, then it would feel bad. But if she's white...
Well, you could be white. You could be a white nigger. Yeah. I think that's in a song somewhere.
Right? I'm sure it is.
What's a wigger?
No, nigger.
Brian, stop saying that. It's uncomfortable for everyone. We just weirded out half of America.
I know.
Half of America. Ridiculous. There's 100,000 people listening to this thing. Listen, folks, they're just words. That's the point. It's a ridiculous point that's been argued throughout time. It shouldn't be still going on. Right. It should always be your intent. It should always be like whenever you're in any environment where you're not allowed to say certain words, you make that environment at least 20% bullshit at all times. Any work environment that you're at, nobody's really totally being themselves. Yeah. Everybody has to have this stupid guard up because you can't say cunt and you can't say fuck and you can't say shit and you can't talk honestly about how you feel about things. No, you're in a professional working environment.
Except at Fleshlight, I'll have to say.
Except at Fleshlight. Chris, by the way, works at Fleshlight. Chris is, what is your exact job over there?
Executive VP of Marketing and Business Development.
He's the reason why we made the connection, and he's also the reason why they have an Avatar Fleshlight. Let me say this.
Now, just as a correction, this is not an Avatar Fleshlight.
Oh, did I say Avatar?
This is the alien pussy, which we actually...
happens to be blue.
We actually launched this 2 years ago. Which is how we're getting around things.
Space pussy.
So we pushed this out 2 years ago as just a space vagina. We put some girls in some blue lipstick.
So this was before Avatar.
But it just happens that there's super hot
and
alien that's blue.
You didn't even make it look like a vagina at all.
Double clits, Joe.
I like how you did that.
I like it.
Yeah, double clits.
And it's the inside, the mold is a whole bunch of different stuff.
So you thought of this.
The mold inside is like a bunch of space
eggshells and shit.
Coffee grounds.
No. Every 1,000th Fleshlight has a razor blade.
And has like different ribs inside.
Okay. Urban myth? Is that an urban myth? The razor blade in the vagina from Vietnam? Is that an urban myth?
What? I've never heard of it.
Hookers would do that. You never heard that?
No.
Yeah, man. Hookers would take these back in Vietnam. It was like when I was a kid in high school, when you're growing up in Boston. Back in Vietnam, I heard what they did. They took razor blades and they put them up the girl's vagina. And then you'd fuck them and cut your dick in half. You never heard that before?
No, never.
Never.
Wow, I hung out with a bad crowd. Have you heard of the rape condoms?
I've heard of those. Yeah, they have little spikes on them and they stick.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. They shove it in the girl. The girl shoves it inside of her like a tampon, okay? Right. And it's basically like an interior lining for her vagina that's filled with barbs. Like fucking, like with, you know, like fish hook type deals.
Yeah.
So these guys, they rape a lot, apparently, in Africa. It's like a serious problem.
Super in right now.
It's like one out of three women in Africa has been raped. Mm-hmm. Certain areas of Africa. And this is one of the areas where they're pushing these rape condoms. Like, those guys are going to kill now. Now it's not just going to be rape. It's going to be rape and murder. Yep. You know, if a guy sticks his dick inside you and comes out bloody and covered with fish hooks, chances are he might hit you, right?
Yeah.
Even if he's raping you.
It's going to give
such
you
an
a
asshole
moment,
that he would
the
rape
shock.
You. So give you a moment. Yeah. But a guy who's such an asshole that he would rape you, you don't think he'll kill you if you cut his dick up? That guy's a piece of shit, you know? He's not going to go, you were right. You were right. I shouldn't have raped you. I got fish hooks on my dick. I deserve it.
Yeah.
No, he's going to attack you, right? I would assume.
Yeah, we went out. I was actually out there in Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and out with some of the tribesmen. We were working with some of the men out there to try and actually instill traditional martial arts into them so that they could
get some kind of... So you're teaching martial arts to the tribesmen?
Yeah, and some of the inner city, the slum kids, because really they have a whole generation of fathers that are gone from AIDS. Just no father figures, so they have nothing else to really go to. So they get picked up by gangs, they get picked up by these war parties, and then they get turned into little killers. So what we were trying to do is show them some kind of paternal discipline and show them that, you know, they can be strong and powerful without having to be in a gang. And it was a really cool program, and it worked, but it's fucking intense out there, man. It is really intense. We ended up having to stop the program because civil war broke out in Kenya, and it was just too nutty to keep doing it.
God damn.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
So you're over there teaching them martial arts.
Yep.
Wow.
Very traditional, stylized. You know, we weren't going into MMA, ground and pound.
Just like discipline, karate type
going
shit.
Going through the kata. And, right. You know, definitely... speaking to them, and they dug it.
Like, you know, it's really kind of interesting that Africa is not known for martial arts. You know, it's like Africa is the cradle of civilization, right? That's where humans emanated from. Yeah. But really, martial arts didn't really pick up until they got to, like, Asia. I mean, there was other martial arts that were developed in other countries. But for whatever reason, I think it's because Africa was so fucked up, they just went straight to weapons.
Yeah.
They're like, what are we doing? We're fucking around here with karate chops.
Spear,
give me a gun. You don't have a gun? Give me a pointy stick, man. Give me some shit. I got to stab some fucking animals with some hyenas trying to eat my kids, all right? You can't just, you know, fucking box them like in Ireland. Hey, how are you trying to eat me, kids?
Like I tried to do kangaroos.
Yeah, man, in Ireland, you know, what do they have to worry? A deer gets into your yard? You know what I'm saying? They had time to beat the fuck out of each other.
A whiskey bottle.
Yeah, they didn't even bother learning MMA. They didn't even bother with takedowns or leg kicks or anything like that. They're like, this is good enough. Just use our hands. We don't need to get crazy with the knees. Come on, O'Flattery. Elbows are against the rules, lad. Why are you hitting me with that? We're not trying to kill each other, okay? But in Africa, they're like, fuck you. They're going right for pointy sticks to your chest.
Well,
they're poison darts and shit.
Yeah, blow guns.
Yeah, they're just trying to jack you.
The exception is the like Greco-Roman style wrestling that some of the tribes have.
Really?
Yeah.
They got good Greco in Africa?
Yeah, some of the tribes. That's what determines the alpha in the tribe.
Really?
Yeah, they do all kinds of crazy rituals. Like,
do they have good technique? Do you think you could take their back?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, they don't defend the double leg. No way. You can
let him get on top. Sweep his ass. You got no base. Son.
They'd be all cheering.
You don't know about the rubber guard. You don't know about my lockdown.
He's flopping up and down. All of a sudden, he's choked out.
I get half guard on you, bitch. You got a problem. You got a deep problem.
Wake up with shit in his loincloth. You wouldn't even know what hit him.
So, what kind of wrestling do they do?
Well, it's just like, you know. Like real Greco-Roman, you know.
So, but is it like technical? Do they understand underhooks and overhooks and hip movement?
Yeah, a bit.
What kind of throws? Do they have throws that are like judo throws or like
judo, shoulder throws?
And they're good? I mean, you like an all-American wrestler though would go there and jack them.
Roll them.
Jack them.
I mean, they don't have the nutrition and the training.
Yeah, they're eating bugs and shit. That ain't good for your Greco. Bugs ain't good for your wrestling.
Drinking some stuff out of Fear
Factory. Drinking goat blood and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you, you know, we were talking about this on the show before, but in Africa, panning, you know, where you cut a hole into the top of the head. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Dude, some tribes in Africa do the gnarliest shit to their bodies. Yeah. And I've always tried to figure out what that is. Where's that coming from? But one of them is trepanning, T-R-E-P-A-N, and it means cutting a hole through the skull and, like, exposing the brain. And this one guy had done it 20 times.
Antiseptic conditions.
No, they're doing it with coconut shells and shit. They're fucking cutting your head over with a sharp rock. And I'm not joking.
No, for sure.
They are using rocks and shit. Carving, no anesthetic whatsoever. Carving into dude's skulls. And then the women in Surrey who cut the hole in their lip and they put plates in. And the bigger the plate, the more cows you're worth when you get married.
Yeah.
Like, what is that about? What is all
that? Those are tough to figure out. The one that's,
scarification, they do a lot of that.
The one that's easier to figure out, but I think is maybe the worst, is the clitorectomies that are done by the Maasai tribe, traditional Maasai. I mean,
not just them, right? Just it's fucked many up.
There's
cultures.
More of them. Yeah.
Ooh,
there's more of them.
So bad.
Yeah. Oh. And it's just, you know, and then once they do that, like, sex is just never pleasurable for these women. So, I mean, it's a, you know, they're trying to do it.
They do it because they're haters. They're haters.
Totally.
They have no game. And they want to control these chicks for life. And then the chick turns like 20 and she wises up. You're like, dude, you fucking smell. I'm not into this relationship. I'm going to get some good dick.
Right.
And she tries to leave and you are my property. And then they have problems, you know? It's a bunch of haters, man. It's all those faggots that won't let chicks dance. All those dudes who want to put chicks in burkas and shit. Yeah. Cover everything but your eyes.
Yeah.
You know, they want them to walk around like they're, you know, inside of a trash can looking through a slot, you know?
All totally insecure.
Haters, things. Little faggots.
Yeah, for
little
sure.
Bitch-ass people living in the middle of nowhere.
For sure.
It's the dumbest place in the world because it's the first place. I always say that the Middle East is basically, they're like the townies of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is where written language was created. I mean, the Middle East is responsible for so many firsts. You know, Mesopotamia, Babylonia, where Iraq is ancient Sumer. They had the first written language, the first agriculture, the first government, the first astrology, the first astronomy. I mean, they had a lot of firsts there. It was a brilliant, brilliant place. I mean, so much development. But everybody, like in all good places, they got tired of the douchebags and they moved.
Yep.
And everybody spread out. Civilization spread out across the country. It's just like America. If you go to the East Coast, you get a lot of holdouts. That's what it is. A lot of stubborn people that go, I fucking like it here. Fuck everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they really are is the grandchildren and children of fucking savages. People in Ireland and Poland and England, that life over there sucked so much cock that they were willing to get on a boat for months and come to them someplace they didn't even know what the fuck it was. And so then they get there and then they huddle up and they try to figure out this new place and fight off the fucking Indians, do whatever they have to do to make a business. And everybody smart goes, there's got to be someplace better than this. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And they started traveling west.
Devote your vital energy to something besides bare survival.
Yeah. So that is the civilization beginning, is Sumer, and that is Iraq, and that is the Middle East. That's why the Middle East is so fucked up. That's why there's such haters over there.
You know, I have a theory that I don't think has been explored very much, but it seems like in the desert areas of the world, they're very patriarchal dominated, you know, and then you get to the coastlands, you get to the jungles, they have a lot more matriarchal societies that have a lot more respect for women, and the religions appear different. Something about that dry, arid landscape. And of course, you know, the major desert religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, have kind of really taken hold there. But for whatever reason, that kind of patriarchal dominance that occurs out there in those in the
it's
desert
hard life,
areas,
right?
Is different. Yeah.
It's a hard life. It demands hard living. You know, you have to make you also have to realize that they had this hard, radical ideology thousands and thousands of years ago, and a hard, radical ideology is very difficult to break without a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sort of evolve. You know, if their ideology about, like, and I don't know how recent it's been that they've been so strict with women with the clitorectomies and with the burkas, and I mean, how recent has that been?
I mean, it's still going on.
There's right, but I mean, when did it start? I mean, is it something that's been going on
it's
for hundreds
on
of years,
at least,
thousands
at
of years?
At least 100. I don't know. How
I
much
think
longer
but
that is.
When you have a situation where there's a lot of fear and a lot of religious fanaticism, it's really hard to change because everybody's scared.
Well, even the females for the clitorectomies, some of them feel like they can't become a woman until they get it. It's so ingrained. So if they make it illegal, it's actually forcing some women underground to get them done in even worse conditions than the flint rock and the chisel or whatever that they use to get it done. So it's a nightmare. I mean, you really got to attack it with education. You know, I mean, that's the only real option.
It's one of those things where I think about, you know, there's certain like levels of fear when fear gets ingrained into a culture and when it's control. And that's what a lot of that is. Yeah. A lot of, you know, this, the controlling of women with the clothing and the dancing and the, you know, and to try to prevent other men from fucking them and all that craziness.
Right.
When that shit gets a hold of a culture, it's very hard to get it out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
culture,
it takes like a new restart.
Or a person.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. But at least a culture or a person rather is responsible for themselves. Like, people can wake up and go, hey, I'm a douchebag. I need to snap out of this.
Right.
It's very difficult for a culture to wake up and go, hey, we're fucked up. You know, look what we're doing overseas. Look what we're pretending that this is going on and we're making billions and we got all these fucking dummies that are listening to us. We can do better. You know? It's very rare that a culture wakes up or a government wakes up or any large group, but a person can wake up, right?
You know, I mean, I think the best thing to do would be to put internet kiosks fucking everywhere.
Right.
Just put that in, satellite internet, just get them out there and have them watch Spice Girls. You know? I mean, like, at that point, you know, they're going to say, clitoris.
They kind of do that with those cheap laptops. Have you seen those things? Those, like,
are
like
they getting into
them? Yeah. They're like throwing them in different places.
That's
like that.
That's really the best
thing.
Yeah,
but they definitely need some big inoculation of the retardation that they've gone through for decades and hundreds and thousands of years. You know, they need something to get them to evolve. When you know, when if you get like people that are just so wacky about a certain ideology to the point where they're so nutty that you're not even allowed to draw their main dude.
Oh yeah.
Think how crazy that is.
Yeah.
You can't draw their main guy or they'll kill you. Why do we tolerate this? Why does anyone tolerate that? I mean, you know, that is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not saying, no one's saying that Muhammad doesn't exist or never did exist or he's not a prophet. He might very well be. I am completely uneducated to that matter. But if you're telling me that you can't draw him, come on. That's silly.
One of the tenets, I had a great philosophy instructor when I was going to school, and one of the tenets that he taught, he was philosophy of religion specialist, and he said, you know, any god that should be worshipped should be worthy of worship. You know, so if you're a god and someone's drawing you and you're going to smite them, I mean, that dude isn't worthy of worship.
Well, it's the you know? Followers I mean, it's like, that smite, right? Is
right,
it the followers?
But it's because they're smiting because they feel it's an offense to God.
Right.
You know, like if someone's drawing you, you're not going to get pissed. So does that mean that you're better than God? It can't be. You can't have a system where, you know, the God isn't worthy of worship
and
as being
this
at least
was,
as good as another man.
And this was my thought, is that all of this seems so archaic and ridiculous. It seems so several thousand years ago. It's amazing that this kind of ideology is allowed to live through this age of information, like deep into the 2000s.
Sure.
That's fascinating, man. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. I think there's a real grain of truth at the bottom of all these religions, some beautiful things. I mean, I'm sure in the Quran, you know, I'm not as familiar as I am with some of the other works, but I've seen a little bit. There's beautiful passages.
Fucking terrorists.
I mean, spiritual, spiritual and really powerfully beautiful passages and all that. But then, you know, men get in there and they're able to utilize that as a mechanism of power to wield more power over other people.
Right.
And it just gets kind of twisted.
But what's the origin of it all? I mean, if it isn't the word of God, what is it? Is it smart people who figure some things out and somehow or another figure out how to tell it to people, and those people tell it to each other for thousands of years, and then it eventually gets written down, and by that point it's become fables, and the words have been twisted, and things have gotten strange, and the translations are off, the memory's off. You know, I mean, if you're dealing with something as big as the Bible, how many hundreds of pages is that? It's a lot. It's a lot. So you dudes had to like say it. They had it's a spoken word thing for like 1,000 years, and then they wrote it down.
It was a while, and they had a council to decide. You know, it was like an editing council where they decided which this goes in, this goes out.
Well, how about
the
fucking New Testament? The New Testament's even better than that. There were canons for the New Testament. They just threw out. They're like, no, I don't. This fucking
the editor.
They just recently redid it.
They redid
like,
it.
Yeah, they have like a newer Testament.
Yeah, I was just talking to Jesus and shit, and. He got some old notes. We got some old Tupac tapes we're going to pull out. Right. Jesus is like Tupac. They're redoing his words.
That talking snake shit wasn't real.
There was like a bunch of apostles that were like, that dude, he ain't all that.
Yeah.
I don't care if you know Jesus.
Yeah. So they chose the words that, you know, fitted their agenda.
Yeah, well,
you know
that was Constantine. That was when Constantine was controlling Rome. He was a smart dude. He realized he needed to rope people up with one universal religion. It couldn't be pagans.
Well, at that point, though, the slave class had really outnumbered, you know, the other classes. So he was, you know, he says it came to him in a dream or whatever, but I think he was trying to survive.
Yeah.
I mean, the Christianity spread in the lower classes. I mean, they idealized that theory that they were going to go to heaven, and all these rich people who were putting him to work and doing shitty stuff to him, they were going to go to hell. So it took off. And then he was like, oh shit, almost our entire country is slaves. I'm a Christian. Like, bam, I had a dream, you know? And then,
really?
And then that's what did it. You know, he says it came to him in a dream, but really, I think it was survival.
So the Christians were just taken over then.
They were. There was just too many in that lower class versus the patricians who were well outnumbered at that point.
That's fascinating. So it was a survival move more than a control move.
I think so. At that point, the adoption of Christianity was like he saw the flood, you know, he saw the tides going, and he was going to either get trampled by it or he was going to, you know, go with it.
Wouldn't you have loved to have been in that war meeting?
Yeah, for real.
Where they're like, all right, well, how are we going to handle this?
Yeah.
Like, yo, we got some shit. Yeah. Some shit is going down.
Yeah.
There's some people out there with pitchforks and fucking torches and shit.
Yeah. Feeding them to the lions was just making them mad at that point.
Let's tell them we found Jesus. Yes! I like that. Let's tell them we found Jesus.
Go with it.
I'm born again. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah.
Are you born again? Yeah. I'm totally born again. We can still keep everything going as usual. Yeah. We bring them in. We're going to have to include them, but they're not going to kill us.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay, we're good. We're born again.
That's it. And off to the races there. History has changed.
Oh, ridiculous. And he didn't even become a Christian until right before he died.
Yeah.
You know, right? Yeah. Wasn't he baptized like before he died?
I'm not sure exactly the time. He had a little bit
for
time
a long time.
Yeah, it wasn't a while. I mean, he didn't start leading.
I'm
like
dunking
that.
My fucking head in the water, dude. Right. You got to do it. You got to do it. They don't believe you unless you do it.
Yeah.
I gotta fucking get in the water. The water sucks. It's cold.
Yeah.
You gotta do their thing.
You're gonna get in the water.
You know who's on point? You posted a video about him, but I've read all of his books. It's John Shelby Spong. Why Christianity Must Change or Die. I think you actually posted a YouTube video on
I'm sure
Twitter.
I did, yeah.
And he's a preacher who kind of is commenting, and a very devout Christian who's commenting on, you know, the way Christianity has gone. And his second book is Why Christianity Must Change or Die. And it's really a poignant book for anybody interested in that.
Yeah, he was fascinating. Subject. He was like, we're in the control business. This is all the control business. Exactly. He was like so upfront about his whole, you know, the entire career that he had in it.
Brutally
it like,
honest.
Wow.
His first book goes through different passages and, you know, basically attacks the fundamentalist position of Christianity and says, look, you know, this doesn't make sense. This was a book. It was a guidebook. You know, there's lots of stuff that doesn't make a lot of sense in here anymore. You know, let's go through this. Let's get rid of this. And then his second book philosophically talks about how the evolution of Christianity needs to be in order for that religion to survive. And I think ultimately it will. I think it's happening. Like the fire and brimstone that used to be, you know, that Bosch paintings of people just getting ripped apart. And if you go to Il Duomo in Florence, you look up at the ceiling and there's demons with these big giant wooden flaming staffs shoving them in people's asses.
Oh,
and like another demon that's like shoving one in some girl's pussy.
Whoa.
Yeah. And you're in this church, beautiful church, and you're like, what the fuck is up here? Like
that
crazy
is crazy.
And
wait a minute, what is the name of this place again?
It's called
Il Duomo.
It's the center church in the middle of Florence.
Oh my god.
You climb
I
up
have
to the
to
top
see this.
And it's fucking bananas, man.
I have to see this.
I mean I've been there.
Do they have it online?
Now.
They must have the photos
online. Yeah, for sure. Sure.
So what is the story behind all that?
Well, I mean, at that point, I mean, they were pushing it was for sodomy and adultery, and that was the crimes being punished, but they would be punished
by
these.
How do you spell El Duomo?
It's D-U. I think it might be I-L since it's Italy, and then D-U-O-M-O.
It's in Italy, those crazy Italians,
yeah,
those motherfuckers.
But, I mean, just nutty, man.
Italians are so nuts, man. You know, I'm Italian. I grew up Italian. Yeah. But it's because they're so savage that they're always riddled with guilt.
Yeah.
Because they're just so fucking crazy.
It's tearing them up.
They're the leftover Romans, man. That's real shit. Where's the photos of the dragons and the assholes and shit?
So it's going to be the interior of the dome.
Interior of the dome. I need to see this. It's a beautiful fucking building, man.
Yeah,
holy
man,
shit.
It's stunning. I mean, it's stunning.
They made some dope-ass architecture.
They did. They were on point.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that if you look at, like, the Vatican, you know, and look at, like, a lot of the shit from, like, all the shit that Da Vinci painted, like the Sistine Chapel and stuff, like, no one does anything like that these days.
No. Some of the sculptures, I looked at some of the work by this artist named Bernini. And I sat this one, and it was a lady sitting on the pillows. The name, Bernini actually did the ones that were like Daphne and Apollo and the Rape of Persephone. And just to look at how he was able to sculpt someone's fingers digging into someone's flesh, like Hades is digging into Persephone's, into her side, like grabbing the side of it. And you cannot believe that it's marble. I mean, just the way that he makes it like fleshy and lifelike. Canova did the same thing with this lady reclining on a pillow. Just sculpting sheets out of marble that look like they're, you know, you could fluff them in the breeze.
Yeah,
you know,
what the
really
fuck, man.
Just incredibly
and
talented.
All this stuff just passed on through generation after generation of learning how to work with stone and carve and fuck, man.
Yeah, that'll never be duplicated.
Yeah, it's like people are just way too lazy, man.
Yeah,
I'm not carving shit out of stone.
No.
Fuck all
finding
that, man.
The weaknesses in the marble and envisioning what could come out of it.
But we'll do some crazy shit like walk through the Amazon. We'll do some nutty shit like, I'm going to be the first guy. Like, douchebag, do you know you can take a boat and it's like a few hours you go all around?
Well,
you
know what's even crazier than walking through the Amazon? Have you seen the documentary Big River Man? The dude who swam the Amazon?
What?
He swam the Amazon.
Oh, that guy.
This one will be easy
to
bring
up.
It's bigriverman.com and see it. That dude is nuts. So he's from like...
Dude's trying to die.
Yeah. Well, he does pretty much. It takes 65 days, right? So it's this documentary of this guy. And he started swimming because he had this alcoholic father. And his father would come home and try and beat him. He's in Eastern Europe. Try and beat him.
So
he
figured
out.
Swimming?
He figured out if he went in the river, his dad wouldn't follow him. And so he'd just swim. And his dad would chase him along the riverside.
What?
And so eventually he learned to be this stamina endurance swimmer, but he got all fucked in the head, you know. And so he goes out and he swam all of the world's biggest rivers. And so he goes out on the Amazon, and I just saw this, happened to catch this late night, and I was just amazed. And he doesn't do it like a normal swimmer would, like take their protein and do that. He's like getting them to throw bottles of wine in the water and whiskey. He comes off, he drinks another two bottles of wine, and he's this big dude. He's not even in shape. He's like, he's kind of like chubby, you know? And he gets there, but then around day 40, you know, all the parasites, he's drinking the water from the Amazon. So all the parasites are getting him. He has an onboard doctor, and he's like shocking himself with electroshock therapy to kill the parasites. And he's like screaming with stuff in his head and like batteries attached to him. It's nutty. But then around the 40th day, the last you ever hear from him in the documentary, he goes, I'm crossing into the fourth dimension now. And he just fucking is gone at that point. Just gone. And then so he'll like wake up early in the morning and swim away from the boat. And they won't know where he is. And they're like pointing their light out and trying to find him. And they see him naked on some riverbank looking at driftwood. Just gone.
But so he finishes is he gone because he was just fucked to begin with, or was it all the parasites?
It's like what? I think it's the parasites and just not taking care of himself, exhaustion. He's so sunburned he has to wear this like mask. He looks like Silence of the Lambs, this mask covering his face.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's nutty. The Big River Man is the name of it. Martin Strell, I believe, is his name. And it's funny.
There's some it's nutty motherfuckers. It is a broad spectrum of human beings, yeah. Man. It's broad.
Yeah.
You know? Just when you think you've got people completely figured out, you'll find some new one online. You'll see some new shit.
I guess when he was swimming the Yangtze, it was so dirty in some of the industrial areas that he had to have nightly blood transfusions from a nurse on the boat. Just new blood in, old blood out.
What
and
the
he just
fuck?
He kept swimming. God, I mean, the pictures of that damn. Swim are just insane. You know, Jesus he wants to swim Christ. All of the biggest rivers of the world.
Okay, what, most of them. What is it about people doing dangerous shit that they don't have to do? It's one thing that if you get thrown into the Amazon, you have to figure out a way to swim to stay alive and make it to the shore and then get back to safety. I survived in the woods.
Yeah.
I started a fire with rocks.
Right.
I know how to get back, and I got back and I made it. That's an excellent story. But when you thrust yourself into that situation, like that's not a game. That's a river.
Yeah. Well, like, I think
what is that?
It's not the survival instinct that has propagated the species. It's the instinct to reproduce. And doing dangerous shit has always gotten chicks. And really, that's
is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean,
okay. But how do you account for chicks that like getting hot air balloons and go across the world? How about this chick who's rowing her way? She's in a sailboat. She's like 16 and she's sailing across the ocean. What's that about? Is she a lesbian? She's trying to get some pussy?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's some kind of, you know, some kind of tapping into some of the same instinct. I mean,
dude, lesbians trying to pick up straight chicks is just as creepy as dudes trying to pick up straight chicks.
My girl certainly gets her fair share of
I was at the mailbox and I'm about to send a package and there's this lesbian lady and she's like so obviously dykey, just big, and she's got a mullet, and it's like the whole deal, right. You know. And she's got like
just going out of her
one
way.
Those Eddie
sure
Bravo
you know.
Falcon wristbands. It's like a leather strap on her wrist, and the girl in front of her is getting a package, mm-hmm. You know, and she drops something. She was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm so disorganized," and the lesbian goes, "Don't apologize for being human." And I was like, oh, it was so gross. I literally put my hand up to my mouth. I'm like it was so like sleazy. Here's my card. Yeah. You know, it was so like low rent, you know, traveling vacuum salesman trying to fuck somebody's wife. You know what I mean? It was like so sad. Don't apologize for being human. I'm like, like that must be what it sounds like, you know, when dudes try to do it too.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
When you hear a dude like with a sleazy, cheesy line, you know, and you're like, oh, you feel bad for that chick. That could be your sister. That could be your daughter. She's got to listen to this moron. Yeah. You know, I could always just give it to you right here in my car.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Oh,
disgusting. Yeah.
Could be someone's kid.
That perspective comes from having
children. That perspective jacks you. When you have children, everything changes. Porn becomes like a sad story. You know, like, oh, poor girl getting mouth fucked. Think about it. That used to be somebody's baby, somebody's little girl. Used to be a thumb. Now it's some big, giant black dick. glug, glug, glug. And she's getting gagged, yeah, slapped in the face with it. I'm like, wow. Can't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Not so fun.
Changed it. Changed the game.
Have you been? You've been. Brian, have you ever been to a set of a porn?
Where?
A set of a porn being filmed?
Just like my bedroom and stuff like that. Bow,
bow, bow. Tell us, Brian. Don't
you know how it goes.
Speaking of which, play your friend, your friend's clip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this
not
is...
speaking of which, I mean, you really, this is not a romantic situation.
Yeah, here, here's friends. Some porn I filmed. No, this is actually this is from Sam Tripoli's Naughty Show. This is right. a video that...
And tell everybody, they don't have to see it. It's funny enough as it is, but if you want to see it, what is the YouTube address?
It's just type in Little Esther on the Street on the Google.
Little Esther on the Street. Now, what this is Brian's friend. She's 22?
22, but she looks like she's...
12.
Yeah, 12 years old.
Seriously, she really looks like she's 12. Like,
and that's her whole thing. And she was on Jimmy Kimmel. She played Jimmy Kimmel's sister on Jimmy Kimmel in one episode or something.
And what is her name?
Esther.
Esther?
Yeah. They go by Lil Esther. She's hilarious. She's like a new up and coming comic, I would say. She does a lot of Comedy Store stuff.
And Esther, I'm sorry, what's her last name again?
She goes by Lil Esther.
Lil Esther.
Yeah, so you can find her.
Her name is a mystery?
Well, if you go on Twitter, it's twitter.com/LIL_Esther. I'll tweet it in a bit, but it's called Lil Esther. And here's that. So cool.
How do you spell Esther?
Hold on. Esther.
Oh, it's Esther, huh?
Yeah.
I would have got that wrong.
So,
but then I would have looked at it the right way and be like, that doesn't look right either. Ester. That looks stupid too.
Ester.
All right, whatever. Let's hear this. It's funny. She's on the street. She's a girl literally who looks like she's 12 years old, and she's just walking up
and
to strangers.
Yeah, and she's saying that this is for her health class, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so here it goes.
Little Esther, she's got questions, she needs answers, this should be interesting.
So I'm just asking questions for my teen health project. What does friends with benefits mean?
Oh, it's loading up. It was loaded
up. Oh, that's so gay, Brian. I can't believe you did that.
It was loaded up earlier, but we went and did that song.
So it stopped? Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Here we go. See if it works.
Little Esther, she's got
questions. Are you playing it over again? They already heard that part. God damn it.
Anyways, it's really funny.
Yeah, just go to it online.
This should be...
We'll play it in a bit. We'll load up while we're waiting.
Let it load up.
Okay.
Anyway, she's 12 and she looks...
She's 22. She looks 14.
And she looks like she's 12.
It's a really funny video.
Yeah.
From Sam Tripoli's Naughty Show.
And she asks dirty questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, you already know the joke.
Right.
But it's good. It's a good joke. It's very similar to that Man Show Boy concept,
kind of, yeah, same
but
concept
way dirtier.
Where the kid looks really young, but it's not.
But way more wrong
because
it's a girl. But at least it's she's really an adult as opposed to the Mancho Boy was like a real little kid.
Was it? I thought it wasn't.
No. It was a kid. It was like 15 or something. Mm. He was a boy, right? And he aged while the show was going on.
I didn't know that.
Then became the Mancho, teenager.
You know, I always got that kid mixed up with Andy Milonakis or whatever his name is.
You know what? I don't even know who Andy Milonakis is. I know the name. I've seen the name written in print. And it's like a cultural pop icon name.
Right.
Someone will say it, and I don't know who it is. I don't get it. I've seen it 100 times.
He's pretty funny. And
Is he a comic?
Yeah. Well, he's like a video guy. I don't even know.
Oh, like a YouTube guy?
Yeah, like a YouTube guy, kind of. But he also has been in like stuff, movies. And
I hope people don't get offended when you say they don't know who they are. There's just so many.
He's
there's too many people to know
he's from
now.
MTV, I think. Originally.
There's too much shit going on, man. I can't keep up with all those goddamn videos people are sending me. I look at my Twitter. It's like if I wanted to just waste my entire life, not waste, but use up all my time, I would just go on my Twitter and watch all the videos that people send me. All these fucked up, crazy videos over and over and over and over again all day. Check this out. Oh, my God. Have you ever seen this? How is this guy still alive? Every day. Animal attacks, car wrecks, motorcycle crash, animal attacks. Right. It's all fucking day, dude.
Yeah, so much content out there.
Fuck. It's impossible to watch it all. Yeah. It's our minds are being reprogrammed. You sit in front of these fucking computers, you're just inundated with crazy shit over and over again all day. If you have time and your dick works, someone's going to send you something fucked up, right? Because if you have time and you're young enough to be having fun in life, you're going to have some fun friends. Sure. And if you have fun friends, they're going to see some fucked up shit. And if they're going to see some fucked up shit, then I want you to see it too.
Right?
If it tweaks them, they're going to want to send it to you. They're going to want to be the one that shocks you. It's too much, man.
It is. It's good. It's, you know, it, every once in a while, just reading a book with actual pages, you know, because I got the iPad thing, and I like that too, you know.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes comforting just to go back.
Yeah.
It's
just like, back. I'm going to read some stuff out.
This page of printed letters.
You've tried this recently, and this is a big thing that I do, is the sensory deprivation tank. Mm-hmm. You just tried it for the first time, right?
Yep.
And what did you think about that?
Well, I think I sent this to you in an email, but I likened it to the first time I had sex. Like, I could tell it was something rad, and I knew I was going to dig it for the rest of my life, but I was terrible at it. Like, just not quite good at it yet. You know, you have to really just relax your mind, and I was fidgeting with, you know, how comfortable I was, but then I also was super tired when I was in there. You know, it was a long week, and I didn't have it, you know, available to me except for, you know, kind of late in the evening, and I wanted to make sure I got in. So I started to fall asleep, but it was this crazy consciousness in the sleep. Like, I saw this window of where sleep was, and I could visually see it. I could see it with my eyes open, and I could crawl in it, and I was asleep, and I could crawl out of it and not be asleep. And I was fully in control of how it was going. And that was pretty wild. I mean, what you're able to do with your mind in that situation where you can't tell when your eyes are open and your eyes are closed and there's no feeling, no sensation on your body, the amount of control I was able to exercise was amazing. Didn't find any kind of great lucid information out of it, but the experience was wild. I mean, I've never been able to see those layers because usually you just pass out. You don't know when you fell asleep. All of a sudden you're awake, you remember that. And then all of a sudden you're asleep and you wake up the next morning. But this, I was able to see the steps in between. And,
you never realize how quiet it is until the power goes out in your house.
Yeah.
You know, when the power goes out in the neighborhood and the power's out everywhere, that you hear things go off. Yeah. And there's that dead silence that you don't get any other way.
Yep.
Well, the tank is that times a million.
Yep.
The tank is that with your body. It shuts everything off.
Yeah.
Everything. It's one of the things that I always talk about. I talk about it on this podcast all the time. I talk about it in interviews all the time. And the thing that I always say is that I'm always shocked that people don't do this. I'm always shocked that people don't know about this. I'm shocked that there's not one of these on every corner.
Yeah.
That people aren't having these things put in their house. They have jacuzzis put in their house. Why don't you have an isolation tank?
Right.
Like, do you not want to be happy? Do you not want to think? Some do you not want to relax?
Some people are running like hell from their own thoughts.
That's too dangerous. Too much work, man. That's too much work. Yeah, it's more work to run from your shit than it is to face your shit.
Agreed.
You know? And there's no facing your shit like facing your shit in that tank.
Yep.
When you can't hide behind any bullshit when you're in there. There's no distractions. There's nothing.
Yeah.
You get right immediately to the whatever was fucking with you.
Yeah.
Anything. And then once you get good at that, then you become a Jedi.
Yeah.
You become an astral traveler.
Sure.
You get in there and you learn how to really let go.
You just lock in quick.
Uh-huh. I lock in within 15 minutes. I'm gone.
Yeah.
I settle in. The thing is, you always got to get your body to relax. There's always so much tension that you're carrying around in you. You don't realize how much tension you have in you until you're in a zero gravity environment. And you realize you're holding yourself.
Yeah.
You're like pulling yourself in. Like your back and muscles are pulled in. Your arms are pulling. Yeah. You don't even realize you're doing this. You're like fighting the world all the time.
Yeah.
But when you get in there and then all that shit goes away, then about 15 minutes in, once the breathing stabilizes, and then I go. Then I'm gone. Then I'm off in the land of wild hallucinations and fucking vivid dreams and lucid dreaming and flying and communicating with entities and having things explained to you in gigantic three-dimensional numbers from an alien planet that are rotating around you in some big holoscope that's like a hologram that's shaped like the planet Earth. I was watching the universe being explained to me in letters that were from another planet that were spinning around, that were three-dimensional, and it was all being orchestrated by these aliens. And it made sense to me while I was watching it.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out their code and their pattern. This is how the whole universe works. It all works by this one thing, then everything goes into another thing, and that goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. That's how crazy the tank is.
Yep.
Why is that not everywhere?
Well, I mean, there's other ways to get there, too.
Not there. There ain't no other ways to get there unless you're doing drugs.
Exactly. That's kind of where I was leading to. Well, I mean, but there's...
But even those are better in the tank.
Yeah.
You think you know just what mushrooms feel like?
Yeah.
Mushrooms in the tank are a totally different animal, man. Yeah. There's no distractions.
Yeah.
That mushroom gets to talk right to you, you know? the weed in the tank, the weed's talking right to you. Mm-hmm. There's no, my ass is on the couch and the light is hitting my eyes and the elbow touches the seat arm. There's none of that. There's no input.
There's so many powerful weapons at our disposal that people are so scared of. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, the tank is one of them. Obviously, a huge resource, and it's easy. It's just, you know, you can't complain about anything. But then there's other, you know, shamans for years, I think, the best way I've heard it described is this rad book called The Cosmic Serpent by Jeremy Narby.
And I've heard that.
The shaman's goal is to, you know, lead you to the realm of the spirits and then allow you to defocalize. He talks about it like a stereogram. You remember those 3D images where you'd, you know, you'd relax your eyes and the 3D would pop out? He's like, that's what you're doing when you're in that kind of shamanistic experience, is you're defocalizing your body and then allowing communication to come through. And but his theories are pretty amazing. I mean,
just these conversations are, there's people right now that are listening, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's two groups of people. No, well, obviously there's more than two, but when it comes to this subject, there's people who've had psychedelic experiences and people who have no fucking idea what we're talking about. Like, literally, you think we're talking about hippie fairy dust, you know? Like, this is what it sounds like. You're, wait a minute, what are you doing? You're tuning in to, what are you tuning into? What are you, you're tuning in to Santa Claus? What's going on?
Right.
Like, there's even intelligent scientists that will have conversations. And if you bring up any sort of psychedelic or any sort of psychedelic compound or altered states of consciousness, they just shut off on you. Yep. They just immediately discredit everything you're saying. Well, you're just talking about getting high, and this is, well,
just
you
put
know.
It in a nice little box that they can discard.
And they toss it away.
Yeah.
But if they've done mushrooms, they'll go, oh, yeah. exactly, right?
I get it.
They'll look at you and go, yeah, it might be that. Yeah, it might be that. Right. I've talked to, like, some serious, serious fucking scientists, man, and guys who have, you know, PhDs and guys who work at universities teaching schools and, I mean, teaching, you know, physics courses and shit. Yep. I've talked to them about psychedelics and had some fascinating conversations,
yeah,
you know, where people who are way smarter than me, way more educated than me, way, way more experienced in the ways of the world, and they've had a bunch of psychedelic experiences, and, you know, they'll tell you, like, who knows what that is?
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows what that is? That might be a billion different things.
This is a pretty cool theory by Jeremy Narby, and I'll give you the cliff notes here, so for discussion's sake. But he went down to the ayahuascaro shamans down in the jungle and took the ayahuasca with them. And he was just an anthropologist.
And for people who don't know, let's explain what ayahuasca is.
Ayahuasca is two different plants. There's the actual dimethyltryptamine active plant that is part of a vine. And then somehow, out of the 80,000 species in the Amazon, they figured out Yeah, there's this other leaf that they needed to combine with it to actually make it work, an MAO inhibitor.
Yeah.
And so they combine this and they make it into a tea, and it's been part of the traditional religious ceremonies down there.
Yeah, see, what this DMT stuff is a chemical that it's the most potent psychedelic drug known to man, but it exists in a bunch of different plants, but you can't eat it. Because when you eat it, it exists in so many different things. I guess your body has some protection for it. Because if you eat grass, grass has DMT in it. Well, there's a thing that your stomach makes called monoamine oxidase, and that's MAO. Yep. So these guys figured out how to mix an MAO inhibitor that kills the MAO in their system with this DMT so that they can take it orally.
Yeah.
And you talk to, when they interview the guys and they ask them how they figured this shit out, thousands of years ago, by the way, they said the plants talked to them.
That's how they say about all the medicines that they get. Yeah. The plants told them. So Jeremy, he took that and he was like, how could this be true? He's like, you know, science discredits it, but they prove it time and time again. They pick the shit that works. And then modern pharma goes down there and is like, hey, what does this do? And they know the answers. So how do they know the answers? You know, and so the theory is that this all comes from your brain. You know, your brain projects this stuff when you take dimethyltryptamine. But he has a different theory. And his theory goes that, you know, in all of these cultures, you see a lot of serpents when you're underneath these visions. And these serpents are often intertwined. And you can see this written in rock paintings in Aboriginal Australia and all over the place. The vision of the serpent, he calls it the cosmic serpent, is everywhere. And what he's saying is that's actually a vision of a person's DNA, of DNA in general, not just a person's, but the DNA of life. And that you're actually, when you're in that level, you're communicating on a microbiological level with DNA, which is connects everything. It's kind of like the Navi Avatar principle, where everything is connected by the universal language of DNA. And the defocalization of the ayahuasca allows you to communicate with the DNA so that the plants talk to you, that there's visions and wisdom from everything that comes. And the synthesis he's able to get, I mean, there's actually DNA emits, and one of the ways you say they communicate is DNA emits actual light and emits photons. DNA itself will do that. It's too dim and it's too small when you isolate DNA by itself, but it'll emit a certain amount of photons. So, you know, all of these theories that, you know, you're beings of light and whatever, and everything is light, all sounds, like you said, like hippie stuff or whatever, but it's cross-culturally. People say this.
Well, when you do DMT, that's what you see, too. You see beings that are made out of light.
Right. Exactly. And he's saying that's the DNA. The DNA is the substance of life. It's an interconnected substance of life. And that's basically the collective unconscious, you know, and that's how all different life forms.
Man, you're just on drugs, dude. I see what you're doing,
blew
man.
My mind.
You're just trying to fucking, there's always the cynic that steps in. Yeah, sure. That's good. You've got, this is what you got. You got chemicals interacting with your brain and you go loopy for a few hours while your body tries to normalize the poison you've put in your system.
Yeah.
What you are, okay, is just another religion, man. You're just believing some more wacky shit. Yep. And all that always ever tells me is that dude hasn't done DMT.
Yeah,
that's all it tells me.
Sure.
If you're talking shit about doing DMT, for sure you haven't done it. Because once you do it, you go, oh, oh, whoa, really?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Changes the game.
And these guys have been doing it for thousands of years. And people go, why? Well, if they're so fucking smart, man, how come they don't have TVs or cars? They don't have paved roads. Because if you were doing DMT all the time, you wouldn't give a fuck about TVs.
You know what?
Like, TV ain't shit compared to being able to communicate with the afterlife, you fuck.
You know what's funny?
I can fish. I'll go get a fish. It takes me an hour. I cook. I know I have food. I'm done. I'm going to go do some more DMT, all right?
The ayahuascaras, they call the ayahuasca the television of the forest.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. Like, that is where they go to
Here's
see the crazy
interesting
shit
point.
Better than any television.
They brought some ayahuasca back from Brazil. I believe this was in the 50s. And when they first recognized it as a psychoactive substance, they were going to call it telepathine. Because it allowed group think and allowed telepathy. Like, they were going to patent it as telepathy. But they didn't realize that the one of the active compounds in it had already been identified, and that was harmine.
Right.
And because harmine had already been identified, because of the rules of scientific nomenclature, like, the thing they were naming had already been named. So they couldn't call it telepathy. But that's what they were going to call it. They were going to call it telepathy. Like, whoa, that's the active ingredient. Something that allows you to have telepathy. This is like scientists are fucking writing this down.
Right.
That's nutty shit, man. Yeah. It sounds so woo-woo, Deepak Chopra, yoga beads bullshit. It sounds so fucking dumb. To me, it sounds dumb. But I know it's real because I've done it. Like, that's how crazy DMT is, and ayahuasca and mushrooms and all these things that people just automatically label as silly.
Yeah.
Automatic. These are life changing reset button pressing motherfuckers. And everybody's like, oh, what are you doing? Mushrooms, man.
Hey, but here's an honest question. Do you talk about DMT every day? Is there days that you don't talk about it?
Sure.
Is it so amazing that, like, it's just flooding your mind?
You can't talk about anything every day, man. No. But I think about it every day.
There's
always a moment where I'm like in the shower by myself. And you go, oh yeah.
So you don't think that's kind of crazy?
It's not crazy. Well, it's like if you were picked up by God and taken on a magical mystery tour for 3 hours in a spaceship above fucking Pluto, you would be remembering that shit all the time because it was the most extreme experience a human being could ever possibly have.
But I've felt that, like, in drugs where I'm like, this is the most amazing thing in the whole entire world, but I don't think about it.
It's not like that. You don't. It's not like that.
Yeah, sometimes the integration.
It's not like that. It's not, this was the most amazing thing in the world. It's not like that at all. It's this, that this is even possible is impossible.
Right.
That this exists is mind-blowing. That this reality seems realer than the reality that I live in every day. The fact that there's something that feels like it's communicating with you and it's giving you a message that you're connected to everything and that it's a gigantic illusion created by your biology to keep you alive and to make you sustain this other world that exists in your dream consciousness. I mean, they communicate this shit to you.
Yep.
And it makes sense, and whatever it is sees right through you and communicates only with love and is showing you impossible to believe images and visuals. And at the end of it, when it's all over, you're changed forever.
Yeah.
Like you can never.
You can't go back.
You can't go back. You can't go back.
You wouldn't want to, but you couldn't anyway.
But you got to make sure that whatever you get out of that, you can still talk to people.
That's what I was saying.
It's too much of anything.
Like
I don't want to lose your grip.
Yeah. You don't want to get slippery. Yeah. You get slippery.
Yeah.
You could get if you know. There's a guy that I know that's a tattoo artist that's done DMT like 100 times, and I have hung out with this dude, and he did Eddie's arm. Mm-hmm. You know Eddie's sleeve.
Yeah.
I don't want to say his name because just in case he doesn't want people knowing. Anyway, dude has got this fucking sniper stare. He's got this look in his eyes, man. Like he's just been over there just a few too many times.
Yeah.
Like he can't ever quite step back into the real world. Yeah. Like every corner he turns around, there's fucking DMT elves staring at him from behind the counter. Like he's just been there too many times, man.
That can happen.
He's had some very interesting. He doesn't talk about it. That's a weird thing. I think when he does talk about it, but he doesn't go into depth like me. Like I'm just yapping about it because I haven't done it in years. It's still fresh in my mind.
Yeah, does it start like off like I'm talking about it a lot, and then you start peeing your pants, and then you start
seeing it when you talk about it. You start seeing it again. Right. You know, like little flashbacks will pop in your head of things that happened. Not flashbacks like you were like you can't see or you're hallucinating, but just like oh yeah, oh okay, that happened. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Just it makes you think about it again.
There was one experience that that I had at the traditional shaman out in the desert here in the U.S. and she took me out and
a girl shaman,
yeah, female shaman,
that's hardcore,
right?
and so
this is where the music starts.
Yeah. So, but anyways, I fasted, did the proper traditional preparation, and I drank a substance. I think it was. Some kind of mushroom and other traditional plant-based substance. And that what I got from that has totally changed my life forever. At that point, I was able to lift from my body, lift from it, look down and realize, oh, wow, this is just a vessel. You know, it's useful. It's wonderful. It allows me to flow through this world, but it's not the be-all. You know, like there's a separation. There's a distinction between body and spirit. And from then, the fear of death evaporated for me. And it would just be a shame. Like, I certainly don't want to die. I love life. Life is fucking rad. But the fear of it is gone.
It was just a hallucination, man. You were on mushrooms. You were hanging out with a hot shaman girl, trying to get some pussy. You got a little carried up in the moment. You went a little Barry Manilow.
Jesus just put him on your shoulders, man.
He could have been
carrying
Jesus.
Around the shoulders.
You ever think of that? Do you ever, do you know the book of the book, Sacred Mushroom and the Cross? You ever heard that story?
I've heard a little bit about it. But
John Marco Allegro, who was one of the head scholars of the Dead Sea Scrolls, he was in charge of deciphering it, spent 14 years working on the oldest version of the Bible by far, and what he decided after 14 years, he wrote a book about it, that the entire Christian religion was a gigantic misunderstanding, and what it was initially all about was psychedelic mushrooms and fertility rituals. And he said this is what the whole Christian religion was initially all about. And like, you know, has this fucking book dedicated to it. I don't know. I can't follow it. I don't understand, you know, ancient languages. I have no knowledge of it. But just the fact that this guy was like this really well-respected scholar and he came to these conclusions. I mean, of course they were doing drugs. The drugs were around. Mushrooms have been around for thousands and thousands of years. Yep. What? We're the first ones to figure out you can eat it? People back then ate everything they could, right? They ate everything. They had a try. The reason why we know shit's poisonous is because dudes ate it and died. And then they said, all right, he ate that, he died. Don't eat that. You eat that. You try eating that. Because there's a lot of this shit around. If this is edible, it's good. It's good. The apples are good. Let's eat the apples. I mean, that's how they figured out how to do things. They ate everything, bro. They ate it all. They knew what was good and what was bad. And if mushrooms are around, and they were, people were eating them. And if people were eating them, they were seeing God. And if they were seeing God, they didn't want anybody else in on the action. So what did they do? They hid all their fucking knowledge about these mushrooms and these rituals, and they put it in stories. And they put it in fables and parables, and they just twisted it all up. So it was just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Well, the forbidden fruit is a mushroom, man. Yeah. That's what it is. I mean, there's an ancient fresco in France. There's this ancient painting, rather, and it's on this wall. It's from fucking thousands of years ago, and it's Adam and Eve with a mushroom tree. There's Adam and Eve with mushroom caps all around them. I mean, it is the fucking forbidden fruit.
Sure, and it's been squashed because if you take that, that's a direct link, I feel, to God. You know, I'm both a spiritual person and a kind of a deistic believer in the universal God force, but you take away mushrooms and then you insert people, and people get to absolve you of your sins. It gives them power. You build them giant structures. You know, they get to wield money, power. And if you look at the history of the Catholic Church, women as well, especially in the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, going through there. And so they've inserted themselves and then removed the other mechanism to get there directly. So they become the intermediaries at a certain point.
I wonder, I mean, how much of that is true, because there's a lot of speculation about, you know, where they lost the way and what it was really all about. I wonder how much they let the common people know about it even back then. You know, maybe mm-hmm. it was something that, you know, the elite found out about yep. it, and they tried to protect the information even from the common folk. But it also might have been a question of climate change, too. Terence McKenna had some ideas about that, and he thought that with global climate change, which is, you know, very cyclical, happens all the time, a lot of times the climate will be inhospitable for mushrooms. It changes. Mm-hmm. So instead of getting mushrooms all the time, now they can't get them anymore. Mm-hmm. And so then the culture completely changes and becomes more of an alcohol-based culture. Starts off, they start using preserved mushrooms in honey, because we know they've been preserving things in honey for thousands and yeah. thousands of years. And then you deal with fermentation, because honey can become a psychoactive substance on its own. It can become mead when it right. becomes fermented. Right. It becomes like an alcohol. And so then they go into an alcohol culture, and then before you know it, the mushroom ideas are gone. Yeah. All the love and, you know, all the your fellow man, that shit's out the window. And yeah. now, you know, everyone's just drunk and raping. You know?
Yeah. It's interesting.
It's fascinating shit, man.
It really is.
You always got to wonder, like, how did we get to be who we are now? Like, what yeah. was it like? Could you imagine if you could go to, like, 1400 BC and just go hang around England and see what the fuck was going on in France and see how people were living in Europe? You know? How trippy would that be, man?
That'd be crazy.
Whoa! That would be the strangest fucking thing. To be able to go back in time, even just in, like, an invisible, impenetrable capsule. Like, you could just stand there, like, in an invisible phone booth right. in the middle of a town, you know, and you get to watch. And they can't walk through the phone booth. It yeah. looks like a tree. They can't touch it, you know.
I've always been fascinated by that moment before battle, you know, where you know you just have – you have, like, an axe, or you choose between an axe, a morning star, and a sword. And you're like, what am I going to use that's going to maybe make me survive? You know, like, how good is my armor? Not as good as that dude's, but I'm a rocket anyways.
Fuck.
You know? And, like, just – feel that, you know, I mean, ooh. MMA gets an approximation of that, and that's, I think, why people love it so much, because it's the closest we got, but it pales in comparison to that, you know, to that moment. You're with all of the people in your country, and perhaps the horde that's coming is going to rape your girl, you know, kill your children, put them into slavery,
smash their head on yeah. rocks,
and you got it, you just got to fucking hold the ground. You know, like, how is that, you know, I mean, we don't even know what that's about.
We have no idea.
No.
And they did that forever.
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 I mean, that was such a part of the human, you know, birthright.
But how much of that shit is still in our genes, and how do you shut that
all
shit
of
off?
It? All of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
The human hardware is so retro.
It still goes on, though. Like, any war, you're doing the same thing. Like, what kind of missiles does this guy have?
Of course it goes on. I'm saying, why?
War is different now.
Yeah, it's totally different.
You know, it's so impersonal.
Yeah.
You know, with the guns.
Have you seen Call of Duty? It's pretty
I mean, yeah, it's intense. Our soldiers are
certainly
brave.
Brian just said, have you seen Call of Duty while two wars are going on overseas?
Well, that means, like...
Have you seen Call of Duty?
That means it's all ground game. That game is pretty much ground game.
Is that what's going on
now? It's like going into wars, explosions and stuff like that. That's still going on, for sure.
That is going on. You know what else is going on? Drones. Drones are allowed to go into places we're not even really at war with. Like in Pakistan, we're not really supposed to be at war in Pakistan. But we got spaceships that are working on remote control from Nevada. They're remote controlling them from Nevada and jacking dudes in Pakistan from the air.
They probably have iPhone apps for controlling drones. Just tilt it, man. You can tilt it. Destroy that person by just hitting...
Well, yeah, dude, it's like that movie. Personal. Do you remember that movie where the dude got really good at that video game, and then the aliens came and recruited him?
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
that shit? Remember that shit?
Starfighter?
Starfighter? Was that it?
Starfighter.
I just remember because his name was Rogan. Like, his name was Alex Rogan.
Uh-huh. Alex Rogan.
And, you know, dude, I mean, they're doing that with kids that get really good at video games, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kids get real good at video games.
The Army
like,
has
oh,
video
you guys
game.
Are awesome.
The it's Army like, has a video
high score! Yeah. And then just people burst in your door.
Why wouldn't you,
Excuse
man?
Excuse me, son.
Joe, why not take some? Thought about this? The Army has a video game that's tracked, so they can track the top guys. I bet those top guys get knocks on the door once in a while. Like, would you like $1 million?
Could you imagine? You weigh like 80 pounds and you're in your underwear. You're like, I don't like killing things for real. I just like to play your game.
Right.
Can I go back to playing your game? You put some poor little 13-year-old like, 5 more years, you can join us. Yeah. You can play that game for a living. What do you think, pal? What do you think? Get you all the hookers you want. Take some poor fucking kid who's just awesome at the Army game.
Yeah, it's scary to remove that personal side to killing. You know, I mean, it's just a totally different paradigm.
Well, we were talking before the show about these guys that have been caught in Afghanistan that are U.S. soldiers that have been killing civilians and taking home little trophies. They've been playing like a game, just jacking people and killing people. It's just they get too used to killing people, man. It's too used to killing people and too used to being in a place where everyone resents you and they don't want you to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I always... For the longest time, I always would look at like politicians and go, how much say do they really have? How much say does the president really have and what the fuck is going on over there? Or is he just a dude with a job just like all of us? Is it just all bullshit once you get in there? You know? And I used to look at Bush, and when Bush was in Iraq, and I used to say, is this motherfucker responsible for all these people dying? Is he responsible for all this talk about weapons of mass destruction? Or is he just some dude who's got to do this job? And I remember when he was standing in front of those people and that dude took off his shoes and threw them at him.
Yeah.
Do you remember that shit?
Yeah, I remember that.
And he ducked and then the dude threw it again and he ducked again and he had a little half smile on his face. And I'm like, that guy's just a spokesman.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of that.
Yeah.
I looked at that. I'm like, that is just a dude with a very difficult job that's not all that bright and has some ideals and got stuck in this situation. And yeah, he's got to say we're going to war, but there's a machine behind that motherfucker. He's not running shit.
Right.
I'm looking at him ducking those shoes, smiling. I'm like, that guy's not, he doesn't have a care in the world. He's not worrying about what happened in Iraq. He's just an employee.
Perhaps it's not his responsibility, really.
Is it?
Who knows? I think Alex Jones would have a theory on that.
That was my favorite part of the whole Bush administration was when that dude threw the shoes. It was the first time I liked him.
Yeah.
The first time I liked Bush, I would get angry. I'm like, this motherfucker's just making up words and all this bullshit. And then I thought about it. I'm like, that guy probably gets like 4 hours sleep a night. What would I be saying if I was speaking to all these people? I'd be making up words too. I'd be stumbling. I would fuck my words up. Everybody fucks up. You know, Obama said something about there being 48 states. I mean, he fucked up the states when he was running. You know, people fuck things up all the time. You're not thinking. You're tired all the time. You're on this campaign trail.
Sure.
They don't. He's not running shit. Yeah. I learned.
So
I learned.
Like Bush?
No, I mean, I think he's probably all right. He's probably not a bad guy.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's like, he's the demon, he's the devil. I bet they believe that you're really a president until they get in there, you know?
Seems like
I think once you get in there, they open up these doors and you get to see the gears of the universe run. You get to see the gears of our whole system and the fucking, well, if we stop the war, we don't have the oil and society's going to fall apart and we're getting to a point of overpopulation. That's why we need these FEMA camps and we have to make sure that if something goes down, we have enough caskets and whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Now about you cutting taxes. Oh, fuck all that. Yeah, fuck all that. Fuck all that. Exactly. We're going to need some money, dude. We're going to need some money. Yeah, we got some shit going on. We got to come up with an alternative fuel. We have exactly 2 years worth of fuel left and then people start eating people, okay?
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck happens when you get in there, man? Show!
Yeah, I was a big supporter. I was a big Obama fan. I thought, you know, maybe I'm a libertarian, so I'm not Republican or Democrat, but I thought this dude is smart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can hoop. He's got a good family, it looks like.
Right.
Like, he'll get in there.
He can play a little basketball. Hey, you say that, I appreciate it. I saw him play pool. Yeah. I go, this guy's got a little bit of a stroke. Obama can get out.
Yeah,
you leave four balls on the table, Obama might get out on you, man.
Damn, I played Halo Reach with him. You know, like, what if he just started playing Halo?
He's a regular dude. That's what I want. I don't want some you know, child blood sucking dragon like Dick Cheney in office. Dick Cheney can't play pool. He's too busy killing people. You think Dick Cheney ever learned how to play basketball? No, his heart explodes when he tries to tie his shoes. Fucking guy's had 150 heart attacks, you know? Yeah. He ain't playing shit with you and he's got no sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know? I could recognize him and relate to him more than anyone that has ever been president before. I was like, well, here's a guy who's only a few years older than me, and he seems like a normal dude, you know? Yeah. Like, Kanye West, he calls him a jackass. I'm like, fuck yeah.
And when he kisses his wife, it's like, oh, yeah, he kissed his wife. Yeah. Not like that bullshit.
Yeah.
Was it Quayle that tried to do that? Or no, it was Carrie.
Oh.
Who, I don't know.
All of them.
All of them.
Edwards is my favorite.
Yeah.
That Ed fucking Bryce. Swarmy douchebag. Busted. So you fraudulent. Cunt. You yeah. fucking fake cunt.
Yeah.
There's all of them, man. It's like you can't, it's like, it's impossible to be honest. It's impossible yeah. to do it. They won't let you get in. You got to be full of shit to get in. I thought Obama was the first guy that wasn't full of shit. I thought, well, he seems like
so did I
can take a chance with him.
I was backing him.
I don't think he can do anything. I think you get in, it's just a fuck.
I think he's just stalemated.
Yeah. You get in, it's just like well, what the fuck?
You know?
Lobbyists and fucking Congress and this and that and layers and red tape and chaos and war
and then they just tell
heroin coming in by the fucking boatload. Wait, what's the heroin doing? It's just lately. Afghanis need to make a profit, otherwise support this war.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about that on the Alex Jones show. We were talking about that before the show, that there was a Geraldo Rivera was in Afghanistan talking to this fucking soldier, this guy who has a family who is supposed to be defending his country. And meanwhile, where is he? He's in the poppy fields, protecting the poppy fields for the Afghani farmers, because in order for the Afghani farmers to support the fact that we're over in Afghanistan dropping bombs on your moms, we have to get this guy's approval, and we have to allow them to keep producing their illegal crop of heroin. So we have American soldiers that are guarding Afghanistan heroin so that we can go over there and blow shit up. Whoa. God damn. What do you do if you're Obama? What do you do? The fuck are you gonna do? How are you gonna fix that?
It's tough, you know, but as you know, I think they figured out that his approval ratings were dropping as the economy was tightening up, and so they're like, oh, fuck it, let's just, you know, push some more money out into the system, push the ball up, and then it's working, you know. His
if I thought that heroin up, so was he, helping the economy, I'd say sell that heroin. Who the fuck is buying heroin? I mean, retards. You know?
Why is oil still, like, in at least in California, most states right now, still cheap? Cheaper than it was like 5 years ago. You know?
But you mean when Bush was leaving office, then they had a fucking a grab.
But don't you
that's
think
what it was.
Don't
it was
you think right now
grab.
It should be like ridiculously high, especially after like that spill and stuff like that? And
well, did you just realize or just hear rather they underestimated Iraqi's oil reserve by 25%? There's 25% more oil in Iraq than they thought there was.
Oh
shit.
Party on.
Oh shit, gonna get that Corvette son. Fuck a V8. Right. You know, listen, man. Who the fuck knows?
I think they just jacked up all the prices so they can pay for new plasmas and on top of the all the fucking oil. Have you gone to like the gas station? There's like nice plasma TVs and everything like that. I'm like, where does this come from? Oh yeah, $5 a gallon last year. You know.
I wonder who actually how that works. I think actually how it works is they're all in bed together, obviously, but I believe it's the distributors that set the price, and then these oil companies, like there's a place up the street, it's owned by these Hindus that I go to, and they have like the Om on the door. I'm like, this is the oddest place ever. They sell weed pipes there. They sell weed pipes and incense at the counter. I'm like, this is the oddest place ever. Like you guys sell petrochemicals. You sell, you know, the real problem, the reason why we're in war, that you know, the reason why we pollute, and it's all coming out of this hole right here. Meanwhile, you got the Om at the door. Yeah. So I don't think it's them setting the price that are bringing the plasmas. I think it's the companies that sell it to them. You know, it's all very complicated.
Free market speculation handles a lot of that. I mean, when oil price was dropping, there was big deflationary pressures at the same time. Gold prices were dropping. Things were priced because nobody had any money. The speculators weren't able to buy the gold. They were pulling their assets back out into cash, et cetera. But now things are a little bit looser, and these commodities have value. They're more worried about inflation now because Obama's pushing, you know, just shoving money into the system.
Right.
So in an inflationary, you know, time, then these commodities have value. So now we're seeing oil rising. We're seeing gold.
Right. But what was the big, well, there was one big jump where it went up to like $5 a gallon. What was the cause of that?
I think at that point it was a massive inflationary concern, you know, that there was just
really
gonna be, that money was going to lose its value.
And yeah, that caused the oil to go up in price?
When
it goes up a barrel, does anybody know? You don't know either, do you? Brian has no idea.
Brian
will tell you it's ninjas. It's ninjas at the price in Japan on friendly dolphins.
I mean, there's certain supply and demand factors involved in the oil, but as well, specifically, but on a macro level, I mean, it's all about generally inflation.
It just seemed very suspicious to me that it was the end of the Bush administration, an administration that was clearly under the influence of big oil. And then at the very end of the administration, everything just gets jacked up to the roof.
It was to pay his tab, you know?
It was to redline. They were going to redline as much money out of the system as they could until the new administration came into play.
Sure.
You know, on how much control does, you know, the president or the administration really have on how that kind of stuff works? Do they have any? Is it all? It's all got to be set up. There's no way they're going to let some new dude come in every 4 years and just rerun shit. Like, why would we do that? We've run, you know, the career guys at the very top of the heap. They've already, we got this. We got, you know.
Well, OPEC supposedly sets how much available reserves there are and kind of does that. But how much is it? You know, all of that is some speculation. You know, who knows how much they know and what they're doing, but it's an interesting game with a lot of money at stake. When you have that much money at stake, you could be fucking sure that people are trying to figure out a way to fuck it. You know,
it's pretty amazing what it's done, though, because if it wasn't for oil, there would be no plastic, there'd be no computers, indeed, there'd be no nothing. You know, all the shit that we make today,
no fleshlights.
Everything. No fleshlights.
It's true.
This is fleshlight is actually made out of oil.
Yep.
This shit has to come out of the ground as oil before you can fuck it.
Yeah, mostly mineral oil, food-grade mineral
oil. Sure, it's not made out of heaven, Joe.
The primary component.
And food-grade mineral oil comes out of the ground, right? Just like oil.
Well, I don't know. Where does mineral oil come from? Yeah, I think it actually might.
Does it come from minerals?
I should probably know that.
It doesn't come from fish. Can you make a fleshlight out of fish oil? It'd be nasty.
That would be more realistic.
Dirty fucking yeasty fleshlight. Maybe some dudes just miss stinky pussy. Oh, the only time they got laid is by sluts and just drunk pigs that didn't wash their snatch. And that's what they get me a hat on. I got to smell it a little.
There's a product that came out actually called Vulva. And what they've done, they sell it for $40.
I'm gagging already.
They sell it for $40, and it's like a little perfume vial that supposedly smells like pussy.
No, it really
does. Yes, it does. No, so, you know, obviously, being in the business, we ordered some and we passed it around to smell.
Oh,
and
God.
It doesn't quite get there, but what it kind of smells like is like
a cat box.
Like, no, it's it's way closer than that. It's like post condom sweaty sex.
Sweat and rubber.
Yeah, it has that
and
tinge
funk
of chemicals
and dick cheese.
Like this? Like this?
Oh, why would anybody want to sell stinky pussy smell?
I don't know. We used to scent ours with like the nice
spray
vanilla,
on your
vanilla scent, but now all fleshlights come on.
I always wonder how much of like fart porn is just for show. How much of dudes?
Oh, I think it's mostly definitely for show.
Girls who are farting in dudes' mouths and they're beating off and shit. Yeah. What is that? Is that for show or is that just dudes who are
fart porn?
Really over the deep end. What is that? What is that?
You know, I think with all these fetishes,
someone
think,
out there likes it for yeah, sure. At least one guy
you know
out there
what,
loves everything.
You know what I think it is? I think all of these fetishes, whether they're feet or whether it's shit, I think someone's mommy was like, "That's disgusting! Don't you ever fart!" Like, and they just hammer them with this repression, and this repression gets all twisted up, and then all of a sudden, all they want to do to get a boner is fart on somebody. Right. You know, because they've been told by their mother so many times, farting is disgusting. Don't ever fart. And I think it's the same with feet. Like, hide your dirty feet. Your dirty feet, they stink, blah, blah, blah. And, like, really, like, kind of Victorian, you know, parents that are doing that. And all of a sudden, all they want to do is see someone getting jerked off by a girl's feet.
So what's your fetish?
I don't have one, really.
What's
I
yours, Brian?
Hot girls. I don't know. My beautiful girlfriend. Maybe.
Yeah.
Girlfriend. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. What's yours, Brian? Do you have a fetish?
Oh, I have a lot of fetishes.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
Like
boobs.
What?
Definitely boobs, but
well, that's not a fetish. Yeah, that's called being a dude.
No.
Every guy's into boobs.
I'm not really.
No? You don't care about them at all?
I'm really a butt guy. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate
butt guy? Yeah. Butt is definitely more important.
I appreciate what they do to the feminine form. Like, mm-hmm. I can aesthetically value them, but as a sexual object, very low on the list.
Yeah, I agree. I don't say they're low on the list, but they do not compare it to the ass.
Yeah.
The ass is critical.
Yeah.
It's very important.
That triggers.
Because a girl can have a tremendous ass and really be like an A cup, and she's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't matter. You look at that ass, like, God damn.
Yeah.
But a girl with big tits and a really flat ass is just like,
If the butt had nipples, I would agree. If an ass had nipples, I would agree. Could you imagine, though, if an ass had nipples?
If an ass had nipples, you would agree that you don't want a flat one?
No, I'm just saying for fetishes, if you combine boob and ass, that would be like the best.
You're trying to do a mashup?
Yeah, I want to mash up that
fetish, fetish mashup.
The remix? Yeah. It's, you know, it's-